B-Pod Studios.
97.5 The Fanatic.
Let the party begin!
The show starts now.
A party? Might be a strange choice of words. John Kincaid Show on The Fanatic. Now, my family has parties. When people die in my family, Jamie, I would say there are more laughs than tears. And I usually think that's a good thing.
Yeah.
There's usually a good party. Everybody hangs out. Everybody talks, telling stories, sharing the good stuff about the people who passed. And so I sort of would like it to be like that today on the John Kincaid Show as we get started today. Bob's still out. Coach still out. They'll be back with us tomorrow.
Good luck.
Pat's here. What do you mean, good luck?
Good luck making that a party today.
Well, you already had the... You already held the wake.
Yeah.
You and Chunas get to do the wake show. And I always call that the wake after any game. It's either an Irish wake or it's a wake where everybody comes and bawls their eyes out and talks beautifully about the person. Yesterday, you say the mood was...
It wasn't the angriest I recall after such a big loss, but it certainly wasn't pleasant.
Well, it was a terrible day yesterday. Let's get this started. Terrible day. I'm wearing the day after hoodie this morning, and it just felt inadequate today. I don't know. A terrible day by Jalen Hurts with everything but his legs. Poor throws, but most importantly to me, poor decision-making. You can talk to me about the poor throws all day long. I've seen lots of young quarterbacks make poor throws. I saw Carson Wentz even yesterday in games making poor throws. That happens. You see young quarterbacks, even talented ones. Wentz had a great day yesterday, and he still threw a couple in Indianapolis. Tom Brady's been throwing interceptions over the last three games leading up to yesterday. I think he'd thrown five interceptions. It happens. Bad throws happen. Bad decision-making is what's unacceptable. Boston Scott hitting the holes. Miles Sanders, mixed bag day, but still, when he was hitting the holes, he was doing great. But shut out by the Giants at halftime? Ridiculous. It was completely on Jalen Hurts. And I do believe that game's differently. It goes differently if you get some points on the board there right before the half. It just changes the mental momentum of a game. Nick Sirianni, in the third quarter, has to play Billy Big Balls on a 3rd-and-2, 4th-and-2. Now, I'd have no problem with going for it inside the opposition's 45-yard line. I have no problem going for it on a 3rd-and-2, 4th-and-2 situation, but you're throwing the ball twice and you're throwing it to Gainwell and Rager. And those were the play calls. Stop with the bull crap of trying to say, well, that was Jalen Hurts going to Rager, was it? Those were two designed play calls, designed throws, one to Gainwell, one to Rager. That's how you decide to move the chains in the most critical situation of a game when you're being shut out? Awful. Regression is the word of the day to me. I see it as a regression type of weekend. 5-7 is the reality of the situation. Game on the line over and over. Nick Sirianni thought that Jalen Rager was the best option in the passing game. So I heard people trying to spin it. Yes, I heard a little bit with Jamie and Chunas afterwards. And I had to tell Alexa to turn off 97.5 The Fanatic. But then I say, Alexa, turn on 97.5 The Fanatic. That Rager was, it wasn't Rager being targeted. It was just that Jalen Hurts went to him. At least 5 of the 7, you cannot argue. 5 of the 7 targets, you cannot argue that Jalen Hurts, that it was a designed throw to Jalen Rager. So stop spinning it. Nick Sirianni had a crappy game. Crappy. And I believe he went into that game yesterday with the intention of saying, oh, yeah, everybody thinks we can only win because of running the ball. I'm a passing guru. I'm an offensive expert. I'll show them. Well, you showed us, Nick. You showed us that you let a lousy team get a win over you in a critical spot. And that's where we begin with just Jamie, Pat, Connor, and Mike this morning. A skeleton crew on the John Kincaid Show here on 97.5 The Fanatic. You got to do the wake show, and you said... It wasn't as angry as you expected. I mean, I'm more frustrated than angry.
I think there was I think it was a lot of shell shock yesterday at the way it ended. I think it took a little while for people to process two drops with the game on the line. As ugly as that was, and Nick Sirianni probably falls third in the pecking order of blame behind Hurts and frankly Rager. I mean, that's just unacceptable. You're a literal detriment to your team right now. I think people were in awe, like in shock, that he dropped not one but two game winning plays at the goal line. As bad as that was, the NFL's weird. You still had a chance and a right to win that game, and that's a very routine. Those are very routine plays. It's just unacceptable. I mean, that's a chance to bail your team and your quarterback out of an awful day. And, you know, I think I saw Jimmy Kemsky tweet out that Jalen Hurts had his worst career game, and it might be the secondary story to the day.
1.5 yard line, I think, for Rager when he could have caught that ball at the end of the game.
Yeah.
I'm not sure what happens there, though.
The first one, I think he gets in the end zone.
First of all, I think he's the end. Yeah. I think he's the end zone.
Second one, I think there was 27 seconds
and
left?
They're on the 40.
So
or
by the time you get up there.
28?
Yeah.
28-yard line. By the time you get up there, you spike the ball. You probably get two shots. You get two throws at it, though. Because if you run and you get stopped,
I would hope they just ram it up the middle at that point.
And just take one shot at it?
Yeah. I don't know.
It was so frustrating.
Incredible. I can't believe you dropped both of those.
Pat, terrible, terrible day. And you're quite frustrated. You are quite upset.
That sucked.
Yep.
Like, what did I watch?
And you're such a big Rager fan, too. I know that was personally tough for you yesterday.
Are you getting ready your Rager jersey?
I was trying as hard as I could not to curse because my child was upstairs with an earshot, and it was difficult. He is so bad. It's almost like all I can do is laugh. But the fact, the decision-making to go to him seven times. He was targeted seven times.
How about this? I believe five are absolutely designed throws, and you can go watch it again. Watch his seven plays. Two of them you could call into question whether it was, but I believe they were throws to Rager also.
No, I agree. They picked a hell of a time to target Jalen friggin' Rager. This guy has sucked since he entered the NFL, and now you're going to him, and not only going to him, you're going to him in the most key portions of the game. You have the Heisman Trophy winner. A guy that every reported, this guy just does nothing but get open. Him? No, we're good, right? Dallas Goedert, your $55 million, whatever they paid him, million-dollar man. No, we're good.
Did he have two targets yesterday?
He had three targets, but hey, they were really sexy targets.
Yeah, they were sexy.
And one was a drop.
Jalen Rager.
One was a drop. He's dropping a lot.
It's what he does.
All right, here's what it is. Third and two in that sequence in the third quarter. Jalen Hurts, it's third and two. You have two opportunities to get 2 yards, and you have two designed throws.
Yeah, that was a weird one.
And out of the shotgun, too.
Yeah, if you know you're going for it on fourth there, then you run on third down. It's pretty simple.
That is simple.
Yeah.
That's a simple request.
I don't know why he felt the need. Maybe it's a credit to the Giants taking away something early, and he felt he was forced that way. Other than that, I have no idea why he flipped the game plan.
If you want to jump in early and vent a bit, you can at 610-632-0975. We will hear from some of our jurors later on this hour as we get our thoughts out. Bradford White Water Heaters brings you the 6 o'clock hour. Bradford White is here for the pro. We got our first propane bill. Holy sheesh. I mean, seriously. What? I mean, the propane company should come and just have a ski mask and a sawed-off shotgun.
Yeah.
And come and shake me down for the money. But oh my gosh. It's incredible.
Nothing's cheap anymore.
No, really, seriously. I mean, it was just an awful state of affairs. You know, whether you say pork roll or Taylor ham.
It's pork roll.
I say pork
roll. It's pork roll.
If the city means New York or Philadelphia, NJM Insurance is for everyone in Jersey. Get a quote today at njm.com.
Yeah, but the Taylor Ham people in that stadium yesterday.
Oh, I absolutely love pork roll.
Yeah.
Oh, I love it. I told you, I said I had a buddy who would take the... He would get the one that was like the one giant with that casing on it. Pull back the casing and eat it cold. Oh.
Jeffrey Dahmer used to do the same thing.
He would say, it's already been cooked. He's like, it's already, there's nothing wrong with it. And I'm like... Oh, but Coach says he can eat a cold hot dog.
He Coach, yeah, but look at who you're talking about.
Jeffrey Dahmer's
like coach's
friend.
Coach is weird, man.
It's unbelievable. Hey, we want to tell you what this week is. It's Sweets Week. This is going to be awesome. Today at 9:20, we're going to play Know the Show. You have to listen to today's show. And at 9:20, we're going to ask a question about something that we said during today's show. And if you get the answer correct, you're going to win a pair of suite tickets for Wednesday, December 15th versus the Miami Heat. Oh, and wait, you're going to be with all of us. The entire John Kincaid Show crew will be celebrating out with you leading into Christmas time. You're going to come and you're going to hang out with us. We will be having five winners this week. So every single day, you're going to have your opportunity if you are listening to the John Kincaid Show. Different ways to win every day.
That's awesome.
So you get an opportunity. So it'll be great. And December 15th versus the Heat. You were not a Heat believer. What are you thinking now, though? Are you a little more of a Heat believer?
Maybe. I haven't watched them a ton. Tyler Hero, I know, is kind of taking that next step in his career, so that's concerning, but I'd like to get my eyes on him more before I make any daring proclamations.
Yeah, I think before Christmas in the NBA, sort of.
Yeah, Christmas time's usually, you know, Brett Brown, Bob always says, he used to break up the season into thirds, and the first third was Christmas Day.
It was Christmas Day.
Yeah, so that's kind of the wrap-up of, all right, now let's see who's legit.
610-632-0975, you want to jump in early. Nick Sirianni says after the game, some things that had Jamie reacting very poorly. I want you to hear one of them.
It never comes down to one play, right? We turned it over four times, right? So there's a lot of other things at play there. And he's going to want that one at the end of the game back. I didn't see if anyone got a hand in on it. I don't see if anyone grabbed his arm at the end of the play. But he's going to want that one back. We got to do some things to get him some touches because he is an explosive player. But right now, he's not having a ton of production. That's a little bit based off of how we're playing on offense. But we're going to need him as we continue through the stretch.
Do we need him?
No. He's a detriment to the team.
He's a detriment right now. I mean, is that, Pat, is there any?
Oh, you're not going to find an argument for me?
No, I knew that. I'm just saying, is that, to me, it's crazy.
He's a liability. Yeah.
He's a liability.
I'd rather see John Hightower. And I understand.
I'd rather know what you get, what you have. I would honestly, I'd rather see Greg Ward.
Yeah, probably. And he dropped a touchdown yesterday.
Yeah,
I'd
exactly.
I'd rather see J.J. Arcega-Whiteside at this point.
By the way,
I can't argue with that.
The sure-handed J.J. Arcega-Whiteside.
Don't let him get hot, folks.
One target, one catch. That's 100%, folks.
Wait a minute. That's 2 weeks in a row with a big play, though.
Yeah, big
for
third
JJ.
Downs.
So, you know, is his? Can we hear the second one from Sirianni, from Coach Sirianni, I should say. I want to be respectful. At the end of the game, Devontae Smith clearly wanted the ball. He didn't get it. Explain yourself, Nick.
He wants the ball in a critical situation like that. They were playing two-man in that scenario. They had played it three snaps in a row. It was two-man on that one as well. The type of play that he wanted in that scenario wasn't going to be good, but I love the fact that he wants the ball in crunch time and wants it on his shoulders when the game's on the line, and that's what he was telling me, and I respect that. We had to do what we thought was best for that one with the coverages they were playing, and we didn't execute.
Okay, explain why you gave him two targets in an entire game. Your first-round draft pick, your Heisman Trophy winner. Nick Sirianni, it's stupid play calling. I believe 12 of the first 16 pass plays. It's something like that.
Sounds about right.
80% of the pay. You come out against the Giants, a team that cannot stop the run. And your brainiac idea is, oh, well, we're going to go out there and we're going to throw the ball. We're going to throw the ball, throw the ball, throw the ball, throw the ball. Idiotic. It's stupid. He regressed. He regressed back to beginning of the season, Nick Sirianni. And I don't understand why, unless it's ego. Pat, unless it's, I'm gonna put him right out there on the table, and I'm going to show you how smart I am. I'm smarter than you.
That, okay. Yeah, I'll buy that at this point.
Do you have another theory?
No,
I
was as puzzled as anyone else. It made no sense.
Oh, my gosh.
You have one... I'll give you 1.5 wide receivers. If you want to throw in Quez Watkins, I won't argue with you. But you basically have one wide receiver that can consistently get open, catch a football that everybody has faith in, and you go to him twice. You target him twice.
Against the Giants.
You pick a guy that came into the month with, what, 5 reception yards? Or like, what are we doing here? That's who you targeted 7 times, Jalen Reagor.
He's incredible. Brian in the Northeast joins us on the Fanatic. Brian, what's going on, brother?
Hey, what's up, guys?
What's up, buddy?
Hey, I want to touch on two things. one, Nick Sirianni, and Jalen Hurts. The offense that Nick is running, it just doesn't fit the players that we have. That's number one.
Well, what do you mean? What do you mean? What do you mean? They almost set a 50-year record in the NFL with rushing the football and winning, by the way, and playing their best ball of the year. So he abandons it?
Running.
So he abandons it against a lousy Giants team?
Oh, of course, because that's who he is.
Yeah, it's crazy.
Jalen Hurts, the man, he can't make reads. He can't throw the deep ball. He's a game manager at best, and you got to have the running game has to be there for him to be that type. QB.
Yeah, you gotta run the ball, Brian, and that's a key. You have to run it.
Yeah, with Hurts, it's not so much the arm for me. It's what you said in the beginning. It's the decision making.
That was terrible yesterday.
You know, there was a couple plays, even the Quez jump ball on the sideline. That was double coverage. He was kind of lucky to get away with one. The one interception deep where Love came over and picked it. Again, that was a lofted ball into double coverage. It was just poor decision-making all day. I frankly think he was lucky not to have five interceptions on the day.
I would agree with you.
He put a lot of balls up for in dangerous spots yesterday. But then again, you know, he still had a chance to steal one late. That's how the Giants are just a bad team. I mean,
That's why you were still in it.
Yeah, that's why you had a chance to win it. I thought the defense played, for the most part, pretty well. They kept you in that game, and you still had a chance to beat a very bad football team. And I understand that probably makes the Eagles not a very good team either.
But
the Giants are not a good team.
The idea, though, that this Eagles team has the opportunity, you know, to still be in that game at the end is truly amazing.
Yeah.
Because that was a bad...
You shouldn't have been in that game.
No, that was a really bad day.
If the Giants are a competent offense, you're buried fairly early in that game and probably don't sniff a chance at coming back.
And I hope Quez... I hope that we've been trying to convince Bob...
I like
if
Quez.
If Quez is their third receiver next
year, I think it's a good spot.
I'm fine with it.
Yeah. I mean, that toe tap he made
on
the sideline, that's a play you don't see a lot of Eagles wide receivers make.
He's got great ballerina awareness at the sidelines.
Totally fine with him being a third wide receiver.
If he's your third, yes.
I think they'll address the second wide receiver in, yeah, a veteran free agent.
Get a veteran.
I'd love like an Allen Robinson, somebody like that. You know, just somebody reliable as somebody to compliment Devontae. Then all of a sudden, I think the offense is pretty legit on paper.
I don't know.
Outside the corner.
Maybe I'm biased because I watched Allen. I watched Allen's career in Atlanta, and I'm like, people gush about him here.
There's some good wide receivers hitting the free agency market.
Yeah, there's some good ones who could, you know, at least take some of the pressure off Devontae Smith.
Any of them.
And then that opens things up for Quez.
Yeah, I think if he's a third wide receiver, that's a great career.
But why'd you locked up... Why'd you lock up you go with a tight end that you're saying Dallas Goedert is our future and then you don't throw the ball to him?
That was weird.
You don't get him involved?
Yeah, him and Devontae get in a combined five targets.
Third and two, fourth and two?
It's inexcusable.
The one catch that he had, it was the Jalen Reagor bubble screen. You know, it was the forced get him involved bubble screen that you've seen to Jalen Reagor that you've seen the entire month. That was the only real, you know, designed, let's get Dallas Goedert involved. You can't tell me the Giants and Dallas Goedert locked up that entire game.
It's amazing.
It was amazing. Weird.
Yeah, it really is. All right, well, at least the Sixers and the Flyers lifted our spirit. No, they didn't. Boy, Friday afternoon was at the Flyers game.
Bad, bad day.
Friday afternoon was a terrible Flyers game. And I'm convinced, Pat, and I know it. I've been very praiseworthy of them down the line. The losing streak it's coincided with Carter Hart losing his any kind of confidence. I'm convinced the only person with a worse glove in Philadelphia is Alec Bohm than Carter Hart.
Oh, here it goes.
Because he cannot anything above the shoulder, anything towards the shoulders and everything, he can't stop.
Well, the one was deflected.
They know exactly where to shoot on him. They know exactly what to do, and he's flopping around on the ice again. He's doing the flop around stuff.
I don't think
he's
flopping around.
Friday was terrible.
Did you rewatch the goals?
Yes.
Yeah.
There were three horrible goals.
I know. I see. I thought two were on him, and then the rest were on
defense. What about the goal to start the second period?
That was one.
When he wasn't even paying attention.
That was one that was on him.
Terrible.
I will give you that.
There were three terrible goals.
I will concede two.
Three terrible.
We'll agree with two.
He's killing them right now. And then they go to Jones and
And on top of it, the offense just
putzes around.
This team's completely lost right now. And the fact that you went to Martin Jones yesterday, like
that was.
What are you doing?
Why are you doing that?
You know that you have a day off on Tuesday because the Islanders are dealing with COVID.
That should have been a Carter Hart start.
Martin Jones should never start unless it is back-to-back, and that's only because the analytics say start your backup goalie when it's back-to-back. Other than that, I don't ever need to see Martin Jones.
I don't either. Sixers Saturday night's loss, we'll get into it more later, was terrible. What a terrible way to lose. And
great weekend. We're having fun.
Joel Embiid was freaking unbelievable.
The Union.
Oh my gosh, he was unbelievable. Now we'll get to the good news because there was one good news. And I found myself I watched the entire the end of the first half, the entire second half, and stayed the whole way. And then I'm texting Jamie first of all, I text Egan to try to get a little pointers because I'm so glad Nashville lost to the Union, and congratulations to the Union beating Nashville. They play a cowardly style. They're awful. That was awful. That was awful soccer. Nashville's just trying to. I said, are they just holding on?
You said Jamie's rubbing off on you. They play a cowardly style.
I sent a note to Pat, and I go, Pat, are they just playing to get to kicks? Is that what they're doing? And he goes, look, I'm going to be honest with you. Go you got to text Jamie.
I didn't want to bother Jamie in case he was still.
I was doing nighttime reading stories to Skylar, but I had the Union on my phone on kitchen. So I'm like looking over my shoulder as I'm reading, watching the shootout.
The little engine that caught. Yeah. Oh!
And she looked over and was like, what was that? I was like, it's the soccer game we went to last week. She was soccer. And got all excited.
She liked it.
Yeah. That's such a dad sports move.
It was such a, that was a disaster. Nashville sucks. I was so glad to see them beat them. It's like they were trying to get the kicks.
Yeah, some teams do that. You know, I don't know why you would choose to do that with Andre Blake in the net, but it certainly appeared
that
way.
By the way, Andre Blake from around, so, you know, I'm seeing all the stuff.
The reggae boy.
Well, they're bringing up that, and I'm like, okay, well, let me see here. I said, let's check the Jamaican. So I said to my wife, I said, how is where he's from? How far is that from you? And she said, he's around 35 minutes from my wife.
Oh, okay.
35, 40 minutes from my wife.
He's tremendous.
It'd be like Westchester to get to Philadelphia.
Center City. Yeah.
Yeah. So where he is, he's from a remote area of Jamaica.
Okay.
He's not from
a very tremendous.
Built up. Boy, he's tremendous.
Yeah, he really
was
is.
Fantastic.
Yeah,
last
he was.
Night. Congratulations to him. So from one Jamaican to another, my wife says, congratulations. Because he was fantastic.
Their national team has one of the best nicknames in sports, the Reggae Boys.
You like that?
I love it, yeah.
They have great gear over there.
Yeah.
By the way, in Jamaica for them. All right, we got lots coming up. If you want to share a thought, you can at 610-632-0975. We'll try to get you in early. 610-632-0975. It might be cathartic for you to get it off your chest. We're back to work. It's a Monday. It's the John Kincaid Show on The Fanatic. Look, you've heard I hate Steven Singer. You know who really hates Steven Singer? The competition. Why? Because Steven Singer dominates this time of year. The diamond stud earrings are a great gift for any lady in your life. And if you choose a great pair of the Anita diamond stud earrings, you can get them for under $270. That's awesome. That was the same price last year because he's not jacking up prices. Steven Singer does the perfect price every single day. We're not talking, get in now on the special sale, discounts. No, you don't need that with Steven Singer. What you do get are diamond stud earrings that are flawless to the eye, nearly colorless, and they come with a famous full value lifetime trading guarantee. Trade up your diamond studs anytime and receive exactly what you paid of them for a new pair. All with an unbeatable full 100-day, 100% money-back guarantee. Go now to IHateStevenSinger.com. Order with fast and free shipping. It'll be there in time for Christmas. It's Steven Singer Jewelers. They're the best. One place, one price. IHateStevenSinger.com.
97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5, The Fanatic.
Who do you think of when you hear this?
For some reason, Dave Chappelle.
That's what I think of. I cannot believe you pulled that. Yeah. I think of Chappelle.
I just think of Luda.
Oh, you see, yeah, but you just think of Luda. That's easy.
I'm sorry you asked.
Okay.
You want me to lie?
No, but I think of Chappelle, and I have no
one. I think one of his comedy specials opens with this.
Okay, because I think of Dave Chappelle, and I'm like, why am I thinking of Dave Chappelle?
I also, in my head, just hear him saying, move, bitch! Get out the way!
Hey, Football Monday on the Fanatic is brought to you by Pierce Phelps, Bryant Heating and Air Conditioning Contractors. Visit nopaybryant.com for flexible spending options on a new heating and cooling system. And remember, it is Sweets Week. We will play Know the Show at 9:20 today. That's how you're going to win tickets today. Every day this week, you get an opportunity to win a pair of tickets to come and watch a Sixers game with us on Wednesday, December the 15th versus the Miami Heat. We're going to have a blast. We're going to be in the box. You're going to be there. It's fully catered. We have a blast, and we look forward to getting to meet you. Five different winners this week, you and a friend, but you got to know the show today at 9:20.
And maybe by the 15th, they'll figure out how to close the game out.
Maybe they will.
Maybe.
Maybe. Maybe. Thomas in West Philly wanted to check in with us. Thomas, good morning. You're on the Fanatic.
Yeah, how you doing?
Good, Thomas.
Hey, listen, you guys got it all wrong. Hey, listen, in order to succeed in the NFL, you need a physical running back. It's not a coincidence when Howard's in the game early in the season, when he came back, offense started flourishing.
Okay.
And he just hurt again. I told you guys even last week, it wasn't going to be the same. Every good team, even the ones that have a stud, so-called running back, he's physical.
Okay.
Miles Sanders succeeded last week because you had a combination of Howard, physical running back, along with if you try to give Sanders the same snaps as Howard, he's not going to last. He's not built like that. That's where you guys are missing it.
We're not missing anything. What we're missing is Jordan Howard. That's what we're missing. We're not missing anything. This isn't lost on me. I'm the one who was screaming for 6 weeks. Why the hell was he not dressed for games? I knew that they needed to have him. So you're not telling me anything I didn't know, Thomas.
I mean, Miles Sanders had 7.1 yards a carry yesterday. I don't think he was an issue outside of re-aggravating his ankle. He was fine. Boston Scott was fine. The running game was fine.
It was fine.
Do they miss Jordan Howard? Yeah, of course. I mean,
correct.
You always love to have that kind of back in your committee. But,
especially in that game.
Yeah, but I didn't think the run game was a problem at all yesterday. I saw Jordan Mailata killing people. Again, it wasn't a problem. The coach was more the problem with the running game.
And you're not going to have two backs like Jordan Howard.
No. And Boston Scott was fine. The fumble was a backbreaker, but again, that was coming on like a 20-yard gain.
And what Boston Scott, you got to wrap up the ball.
Yeah, that was a ticky-tack fumble.
You
got to
wrap up the ball.
That can't happen at that point of the game.
I love Boston Scott, Pat. I refuse to put it on him, but that's a terrible time.
It was a bad time to have a big turnover.
Yes.
You can deal with that in the first, second, third quarter, but at that juncture of the game, when you're kind of gashing them on the run.
It cost them everything.
And it wasn't even a big hit. It wasn't like a hat on the ball. It wasn't a peanut punch. It was just kind of a tackle, and it squirted out on
him. Can't have that.
The ball flew out.
Can't have it. God. Now, I have a feeling that I know Jamie and I are going to disagree on this. I don't know if Pat will be leaning towards me or otherwise. The Mets went 4 years on Starling Marte. And if you read the story, no other team would. So he went with the team that gave him 4 years. $78 million, so $19.5 million a year. But he went for the fourth year guaranteed. Nobody else was willing to do that, so he took the Mets offer of 4 years. Philly's Twitter lost its mind Saturday morning. And I'm telling you, I just shake my head. I just ask, when one of these end of your career contracts where you overpay for a guy and you overextend a guy, when do these work out? I don't understand the angst of not getting Starling Marte.
I'll tell you the angst.
Go ahead. Start it off.
Oh, that was the start of the fight.
That's the start of the fight.
Usually we hear that at the end.
Okay, go on.
No, this is going to be a calm fight because
this is calm.
Here's why. Because he was reported to be their top target for center field. center field is notoriously weak this year in free agency. It's a bad market for center fielders. The remaining center fielders available: Ian Desmond, Odubel Herrera, Kevin Pillar, Jacoby Jones, Jared Dyson, Albert Almora, Billy Hamilton, Trice Thompson.
Some of them I would have to Google.
Delino
DeShields. I'm just telling you, I would have to Google.
So to me, when you miss out on Marte, it screams the chance that Mickey Moniak and Adam Haseley are going to be given another opportunity. Chris Taylor, one of those hybrid-type players, he might be able to step in and fill it for you. But again, that's a risk because he's one of these multi-position players. It's not a sure thing. I just thought Marte was the surest thing out there to address, to me, a position of dire need.
I absolutely cannot argue with anything you just said.
That's why I was irritated.
You had complete logic there. But what I would tell you is, I'm asking people, and I asked people on Saturday, no one can ask me. I said, when do these end of career contracts work out? When you overextend, one team was willing to go 4 years on Starling Marte, and so he went with that team. Of course he did. He took the guaranteed money. Of course he did. When does this work out?
To me,
these contracts never work out.
I mean, you're forcing your own hand right now because you don't have a minor league system that you can rely on. So to me, sometimes you have to pay that extra year. You know, you could probably trade him come that fourth year if it comes to it.
I don't think you're trading a 37-year-old center fielder.
But like, look at Jock Peterson this year. Like, people kind of cast him off as him being done. And then the Braves were like, nah, we'll take him. He's a vet that's been there before. Sure. I trust him in a big spot. And he caught fire for them. So to me, like, you can always kind of unload a guy in that final year. You probably have to eat the money. But to me, I literally don't give a damn about John Middleton's money. So to me, yeah, he was a guy worth going that extra year for because of the desperation within the team.
Pat, I liked it because here's what made me smile. When I heard the Major League Baseball crew on MLB Network and then ESPN talking about, well, one team was willing to go 4 years, that was the sticking point, and the Mets did it. They pulled the trigger. I was like, the Phillies finally have an adult in charge. The Phillies finally have a baseball man in charge because they didn't bite. They didn't jump. They didn't do what every other team in baseball is like, yeah, 3 years? Yeah, 2 years. He got a lot of two-year offers. Some teams went to three. I bet the Phillies were one of them.
Yeah,
and one team went to four, and it was the Mets. I applaud the fact that the Phillies now have somebody in charge who isn't going to bite at that.
I don't want to agree with you necessarily. I might have to agree with you. I skew more towards John's line of thinking with this.
Well, it's because you're the Mickey Moniak fan club president.
But with Marte. But on, yeah, like Jamie's right. It's because I want to see Moniak actually play. But right. With that said, if they don't go and address the outfield in any capacity, then there's a problem. Like,
well,
you
they,
need
no
to
question.
Go out.
They only have one outfielder right you now. Need, they have to address.
You
it.
Need to go out and you don't go get an Albert Almora and say, okay, we addressed it. Like,
yeah.
You need to get a Castellanos or a somebody to play left field, and then you can suffer with Mickey Moniak in a growing pain year in center.
Would Schwarber added to this team make you happy?
My gut.
Would it make you happy if he was on this team? Would it make you happy?
On paper, yes. Kevin Long, the hitting coach, has saved him, yada, yada. To me, on paper, that screams you're paying for a guy off a career year that had some ruts to him.
I would absolutely agree with you.
And I fear that he would fall back into a rut here because it's Philadelphia and we eat our own.
Castellanos,
I want.
Oh, I think that would be a party in the streets.
Like,
moment.
that was the guy that I wanted more than anybody.
Any
like Marte,
chance?
I didn't really care, but
you think there's any chance?
No.
I don't either.
With Castellanos?
Yeah.
I do think there's a chance.
Oh, you do think there's a chance.
I mean, I think a big move is coming. For some reason, now it's looking like maybe it is a shortstop again. There's links to Trevor Story. I would find that weird because if you really do believe in Bryson Stott, then you better hope he can play second base. If you're going to go sign one of those types of guys.
Well, Bryson Stott can play second.
Well, then you're moving maybe Segura for a closer. Something needs to happen.
I got you.
I don't know what the vision is right now.
See, we have complete different opinion on that one, but that was very, very civilized.
Guys, come on.
That's very civilized.
Nobody wants a civilized conversation.
The guy said the other day
two.
He loves it when Jamie and I just go nuts.
God, that sucks.
I mean, I just look at the remaining center fielders and I go,
Yeah, No. You're totally logical. He was the best option.
And Aaron Altair is making a return to MLB from the Korean baseball league.
I'm good.
Maybe he's your starting center fielder next
Dino,
year.
Dino
Pat,
great.
Pat, here's one where you would say, been there, done that, bought the t-shirt.
I thought he was going to be.
Not.
You did not buy the t-shirt?
I did not buy a t-shirt.
I thought he was going to be.
Was he 29?
So
he was 20. I thought he was 27.
27?
Aaron Altair? He might have been 28 or 29. He was in the 20s for sure.
No, because, I thought he was 29.
I can look this up.
But that's good. Yeah, if only there was a machine.
The pressing issues that need to be answered.
All right, we can get back to more.
23 in the one photo I'm seeing.
Wow.
And then I'm seeing another jersey. He's wearing 40. Google Images.
We don't know sports.
Yeah, you don't know these things. Hey, you want to get in with us on the Eagles or any of the things we're discussing, 610-632-0975. In the linchpin, the Giants had a plan, and the Eagles played right into it.
This is the linchpin.
This quote after the game from Giants safety Julian Love is pretty troubling. And if you're an Eagles fan and you deny this, I don't know what to tell you. When asked about the defensive game plan against the Eagles offense yesterday, Julian Love said, make him throw the ball. He's very talented, but we wanted to make him beat us throwing. That's the main job of the quarterback.
Yeah.
If him and the defensive coaches all week game plan to make Jalen Hurts throw the ball, that's not good. That is a troubling sign to me because...
Well, you know that is. It's been incredibly troubling.
Yeah, that's not good. You can't spin that any other way when the defensive coordinator, who's paid handsomely to come up with a game plan every week, goes, let's not let this dude beat us with his legs. Let's let him beat us with his arm. He plays quarterback. You're supposed to be able to beat people with your arm. Yikes. Their game plan worked to perfection. They obviously came up with a really good game plan for Jalen Hurts. You know, even when he was throwing, it was a lot of times into double coverage. And they were jumping routes. And sometimes we didn't see the replays of some of these interceptions, thanks to the wonderful broadcast team on Fox yesterday. But they had his number in a big way. And if you're a Hurts supporter, lover, you know, that's a tough one to live down because, you know, me and you on the radio, we're one thing. That's the defensive coordinator of the opposition telling you that.
No question.
Yikes.
It's a scary proposition when it's articulated.
Yeah. You rarely hear that.
No, that's really, I bet you when he said it, he wished he took it back.
Probably, because it's pretty damning.
It is. But that's what he wanted to do.
Yeah.
But that's what he said. He let it out. And the cat's out of the bag. The respect for Jalen Hurts as a passer is just not there.
No.
Just not there across the whole entire league.
Clearly not. And it's, you know, look, I didn't think it, even during the good time, nothing was determined. Even after this game, I don't think anything's determined. I think they're going to look at this at the end of the year and go, I mean, we don't really know. Like, we know he's probably not a top 10 guy in this league, but I don't think they're going to have a clear answer at the end of the year.
I told you before the year, I said, and I don't know if we put in the book or not, but I said, if they don't know by the end of the year, then
that's
the answer is no.
Yes, exactly.
The answer is no. And so right now there are 5 games left. And right now I'm skewing toward the answer is no. I mean, it would take him just bouncing back and really lighten it up the rest of the way.
Yeah.
But I'm leaning towards the answer's no.
I think he can be a starter in this league. I think he can be a game manager.
Sure.
Athletic type that can kill you with his legs. But I just don't think unless you have a top 10 guy, you really have much of a chance of winning in this league. So to me, I think that's their end game is how do we land ourselves a top 10 talent at quarterback? And I just don't think it's Jalen Hurts. He's got 5 games to prove the Eagles otherwise. There's still a possibility he could be the quarterback next year, but it's very much up in the air.
I think the most troubling thing for me is the fact that this is a bad defense that told you this and defense that was banged up in the secondary.
Correct.
They were banged up, and they basically admitted, like, we wanted him to throw the ball.
Oh.
You don't usually hear defenses that are completely decimated in the secondary begging an opposing quarterback to throw the ball, and you still couldn't win.
I can't get over the defensive Hurts is something that will, honestly, it's almost worth a Philly. If like NBC Sports Philadelphia did more local programming, it would almost be worth a 30. I would make it a 31 for 31. I just changed the name of the show. And 31, the explaining, the just the twisting, the convoluted ways people will twist their bodies to try to excuse make for Jalen Hurts.
When he
has a bad game.
Yeah, I think part of it is that he's extremely likable.
He is. He's very likable.
And people want him to work out because it's the quickest route to an effective rebuild. You know, I think there's a lot of favor for him, which I think people get blinded by.
I don't think any fan base wants to admit that the guy that they have is not the guy.
Correct. Is this Bilal in South Philly?
Yeah, it is.
Hey, buddy, how you doing, man?
Hey, John, first time calling. But the rest of the guys already know me.
Great to have you on, buddy.
Yeah, this is my first time talking to you. I just want to say, I just feel like, you know, y'all killing the young man. Y'all killing him. I mean, three interceptions, okay, not a good game. But he ain't the first, and he ain't going to be the last. I mean, Tom Brady just threw two and they lost. The great.
Bilal. Did you just compare Jalen Hurts to Tom Brady? You just did.
No,
come on.
You did. No, I'm not.
Yeah, but you did.
Not players.
Don't bring up Tom Brady's name with Jalen Hurts in the same sentence.
Listen,
ever.
I'm comparing interceptions.
Don't compare them ever.
See, there you go. All right. Okay, so now I want to say this. If y'all think that he's not the quarterback that is going to be there for the future of the Eagles, then say that. Don't talk about his flaws, because at the beginning, it was about the coaches. If the boys throw interceptions, then the coach needs to figure out
He's gotten praised almost uniformly for a month, and now you come out of the woodwork to give me grief about it? He's been praised when he does. Bilal, here's the deal. When he does well, he gets praised. When he does crappily like that, he had 98 yards passing, and there was a minute 15 left on the clock yesterday. That is atrocious under any standard.
And they could have won if Boston.
I don't want to hear they could have won. It's because the Giants suck, Bilal.
And I've said it, Bilal. I don't think he's the guy they want. Jeffrey Lurie is an analytics-driven owner at this point, and the analytics in today's NFL tell you you basically need a top 11 guy, and I don't think he's that, so I don't think they're going to waste time because of this offseason in making that decision.
Here's the only problem with that whole thinking, Pat. If they're an analytics-driven organization, which they claim to be, then how the hell were you not running the ball yesterday and you came out passing 80% of the time? How are you doing that?
It's a solid question that you propose. I don't have an answer.
I could run your analytics department, Eagles. I could have looked at the Giants and told you what the smart thing was done. But what you did is Sammy spreadsheet told you that, we're going to surprise them. We're going to throw the ball. That'll really surprise them. If you have an analytics department and you weren't running the ball in the Giants, then your analytics department should be packing their bags today. Bottom line, it's terrible.
That was a prime example, by the way, of what you guys were talking about with the Jalen Hurts truth.
Oh my gosh.
Making every excuse. Like, I don't understand how you watch that game and you defend it.
He had 98 yards passing. I believe the graphic, it was 98 yards on the screen. It was a minute 15 left in the game or a minute 20 left in the game.
Yeah.
I mean, stop.
Even when he was thriving during this win streak, he was still getting 178 yards a win.
Like, if Wentz did that, if McNabb did that, if Nick Foles did that, there would be outrage by people about a bad quarterback performance.
But it goes back to nobody wants to be searching for a quarterback. No fan base wants to continually be searching for the guy. So you make excuses for the guy that's there, the young quarterback that you wasted a second-round pick on, because you want him to be the guy. I get it. He's likable and all that. He is.
And Andrew Brand has said, which I agree with, the worst time to look for a quarterback is when you need one.
No question. Hey, the Park Sportsbook app has a great offer for you. New customers, sign up now. Get your first bet risk-free. Go to parkscasino.com/PA. Use promo code Kincaid. You got to be 21 in Pennsylvania. If you have a gambling problem, please call 1-800-GAMBLER. Andrew truly buys into that Green Bay mentality of just, get a guy.
I think it's the right
way. Sit a guy.
I think one of the smartest things done in the NFL in the last 20 years, and this is going to sound laughable to some people, is what the Washington football team did with RG3 and Kirk Cousins.
I don't think it was a dumb decision at all.
I think it was fourth round.
But they went fourth round.
Yeah.
That's the difference.
I thought it was genius, though.
But even the Packers, they had Aaron Rodgers waiting. His rookie year, before he took over, they drafted Brian Brohm in the second round.
Yeah, I mean, he was he waited till his third year to really hit the field.
And that's why I always
Aaron Rodgers
never had a problem with the Jalen Hurts draft selection. I flat out liked it at the time. Because to me, it's always good to have quarterback capital in your organization.
It was gross.
This wasn't the game you wanted to see, but if you want to get in with Jalen Hurts and our discussion, you can. 610-632-0975. It's the John Kincaid Show here on The Fanatic. And I know it's gift-giving season, and there'll be many things on your wish list this year, but there's no greater gift than the gift of life itself. And as a two-time cancer survivor, I know this firsthand. You know, Giving Tuesday is here tomorrow. It's a day of global generosity. It happens on the heels of the biggest shopping weekend of the year. Tomorrow, Giving Tuesday, you want to be a part of it. If you shop the Black Friday sales or you scoured the internet for Cyber Monday deals, remember to make a donation tomorrow for Giving Tuesday. We will have a special takeover of the show by the American Association for Cancer Research. Absolutely. You make a difference every day. Almost 17 million Americans are cancer survivors like me because of the generosity of people like you. I'm asking you tomorrow, please consider making a donation as we have a show takeover from the American Association for Cancer Research to support life-saving cancer research. $5, $10, $20. It all makes a difference. You're going to get in tomorrow. AACR.org/fanatic and make a donation in honor of someone you love and listen all morning tomorrow. I'll be giving you shout outs when you do here on the John Kincaid Show.
97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
97.5 The Fanatic.
7 o'clock hour of the John Kincaid Show. Brought to you by my sportsbook app of choice, the Parks Casino Sportsbook app. You can download it at parkscasino.com/PA and use promo code Fanatic. We'll have juror audio coming up, a chance to hear from some of our fine jurors. Let them have their say, and we'll see how disgruntled other people were right after the game. Jamie and Chinnis do the Wake Show, as I call it, the post-game show. Yesterday, you said, though, there were a lot of people like...
It wasn't a seething... Crap. Yeah, it wasn't seething anger like I expected. I think we were on immediately after the Rager second drop. It was kind of timed out perfectly. And I think the first hour or so was shell shock.
Right.
Like, it's difficult to drop one of those, let alone two in the same drive. Yeah, I think it was just kind of like, we just watched that type of thing. Like, it didn't set in. I think today he'll be more angry. I'm kind of more angry the more and more I think about it. Because you did have
missed
a chance.
Missed opportunity.
Yeah, you had a chance to steal a game. You didn't deserve to win, and those don't come around that often.
And a chance to be .500 going into the month of December.
Yeah.
Which would have been absolutely incredible.
Yeah. So, I mean, your percentage would have gone up to 56% chance to make the playoffs. I think it's down. Tim McManus told us last night on postgame, I think it's a little over 20 now. So it was a big drop.
It's a damning.
Jalen Reagor came into this game with 5 receiving yards in the month of November. It's the last game of November.
Pat, he has 170 on the year. Justin Jefferson, whose name I try never to mention, had 169 last weekend.
And they targeted him.
So it's pretty close.
My point is,
7 times.
Like, they were just waiting for him to break out.
They were waiting
to use him like this.
Yeah, we're going to hear that from Nick coming up in a little bit. Before I get to the top of the hour talk here, I want to get Ian in from Delaware. He's been holding on. Ian, good morning. You're on The Fanatic.
Fellas, good morning.
What's up, buddy?
So, man, this all go back to Howie. If I told you that instead of Hurts, we should have a quarterback that got 21 touchdowns and 5 interceptions, number one. We should have a receiver that had a medical coming out of Ole Miss, but so what, number two, instead of Arcega. Another receiver coming out of LSU, instead of Rager, who Justin Jefferson and DK Metcalf make that catch yesterday.
Oh yeah, one of those two is absolutely great.
Greg Ward probably makes that catch.
Anybody and Wentz is way better this year.
Greg Ward's dropped multiple touchdowns this year.
Yeah, he did. That one earlier in the game, that out route, that was killer. But Wentz is playing better this year. He had one bad year, but
he had two bad years. He had one good month the year before, Ian. And more importantly, Carson Wentz cowered and ran from this town. It wasn't the Eagles. Carson Wentz couldn't take the pressure of Jalen Hurts intimidated Carson Wentz.
Well, it's the chicken or egg type situation.
What?
With the Carson Wentz situation. Like, you could argue that drafting Jalen Hurts was the straw that broke the camel's back after everything that happened with Nick Foles. And I'm not.
Yeah, I know. I understand what you're saying, but it's.
The egg came first.
Intimidated by Jalen Hurts.
I don't know if he was so much intimidated. It was more like, you got to be kidding me. You still don't have faith in me, and you didn't get me a weapon. Okay. You got me a competition.
Who hasn't had that at work? Who hasn't had an opportunity at work where you go to the bosses are idiots. The bosses don't know what they're doing. Everybody deals with this in life.
Connor says it every single day about me.
He really does. Yeah, he's every stalking day. That seat.
And then the D train's outside in the parking lot saying it about
chewing
Connor.
Around.
Connor said to me this morning, he goes, is Pat out today? I said, no, not Pat. And he goes, darn.
Thought he's I trying had to Wally Pitt.
Connor, man, he was in here early, had everything humming, rolling. He was doing a great job.
Because he had an early night last night.
Oh, nothing happened? Hey, the Parx Casino Sportsbook app, downloaded at parxcasino.com/PA. Use the promo code Kincaid. John in Churchville, get a word in here. John, good morning. You're on the Fanatic.
Good morning, John. Love you guys.
John, where's Churchville?
Churchville is by Newtown in Bucks County.
Okay. Bucks. Okay.
It's really close to Eagleville.
Oh, it is. It's right near Eagleville.
Stone throw away.
Stone throw from Exton, then. Okay, good.
Exactly. Yeah. I'm the leader of the Pat Rack. I love Pat, but I'd love to hear Cooney's take today. Anyhow, my take is that Howie Roseman forcing Rager down our throat all year with punt returns and kickoff returns, you know, he's the big guy, you know. And then yesterday was the big, okay, today's going to be Rager's come out day. He's going to be a star. I just think it's Howie.
John, that coaching staff did not create a game plan because Howie Roseman told them to. That did not happen.
Yeah, I don't buy that. I'll buy that they won't.
I believe they want him to be good.
Yeah, they won't cut or move on from him because of where he was drafted. But I don't think it's a, hey, you got to get this guy involved in the game.
Howie Roseman did not go in there to the coaching staff and demand and go, you know what you need? I want this to be Rager's game. Everything should go to Rager. Bull crap. That did not happen.
This is why he's so frustrating, because I do believe he has an ability to get open in this league.
Well, he does.
But if you get open and don't catch it, then it's for naught.
Remember, be listening all day today because it is Sweets Week on the Fanatic. Your chance to go to the December 15th Sixers game versus the Miami Heat. There will be a know-the-show question from today's show coming your way at 9:20 this morning. If you can answer said question, you will win a pair of tickets to go see the Sixers game in a fully catered suite with the entire crew from the John Kincaid Show. And we look forward to having you there. Hey, nobody should have to pay for one-size-fits-all insurance coverage. Liberty Mutual customizes your car and your home insurance, so you only pay for what you need. Look, let's start it this way in this hour. If you had any doubts about Jalen Hurts, this is the game you didn't want to see. Or it is. He was poor between the years, and that's something we haven't seen from him a lot in his career as an Eagle. It was an alarming day. Any player could have a bad day, but the arm, again, looked awful. Without his legs, honestly, what are we celebrating? It was an atrocious day of decision-making. And you can't keep doubling down on bad throws. Why he didn't learn from his first half? Why he didn't learn right before halftime? Why he didn't learn later in the game? I have no idea. The Eagles coaches did themselves no favors by going back to the pass in critical short yardage situations instead of going with what we already know has worked and what works for them better than any team in the NFL. Smartest guy in the room syndrome hit this coaching staff again. And that's what bothers me. Oh, yeah. And Jalen Rager killed them yesterday. I mean, he did. but the smartest guy in the room syndrome with this coaching staff. No, Howie Roseman did not come down and say, you are, this is Jalen Rager's week. I want Jalen Rager to be the one who's featured. That is such nonsense. It's not what happened. There's nothing that the Eagles organization would like more than making the postseason. Nothing. They would love to be able to say our new coach and our coaching staff made the playoffs their first year. That's what they want, James.
Absolutely.
They're not trying to win a certain way. They have a philosophy, though, as we've talked about. They've got a philosophy. They want to be able to throw the ball.
Yes, I 100% believe that. I mean, when you look at the playoff picture right now, it's not a difficult exercise. Just look at the quarterbacks of those teams. I mean, it's a quarterback's league. You're nothing without a quarterback. And, you know, look, it's one bad game in the grand scheme of things. Can he bounce back? Sure. But if you're a doubter like myself, you saw a lot of things come to the surface yesterday that you've been worried about this entire time. So it certainly doesn't make you feel great about the future, because
no, it does not.
Eventually they're going to be able to figure out ways to take his legs away from him as the tremendous asset they are to him.
Every running quarterback, the NFL adjusts.
Yeah, and clearly the Giants' intention yesterday, especially early on, was to try and take Jalen's legs away from him. And Julian Love told you they wanted to be beat by his arm. And they almost were at the end. And I think that's more of a credit to the defense than anything, the fact that you were still in that game. The Giants are a bad football team. And you hung in a bad game and you scored 7 points. I mean, that's troubling. It's the biggest game of his career. It was the biggest game of the season, just as every week will be for the rest of the year. And it was a poo the bed situation all around.
And Pat, I want to note that the defense is now giving up less than 23 points a game, which tends to make the playoffs over 85% of the time.
Mm. Yeah, they've played well, and I expect them to continue to play well because their schedule going down.
Now the easier part comes.
I mean, it's atrocious. They have the Jets coming up, for Christ's sake. But this was a game that Jalen Hurts was horrible. And the problem is Jalen Hurts was horrible. Nick Sirianni was horrible. Jalen Rager was horrible.
Yeah, you can't have all three.
Yeah, and you usually go, well, Jalen Rager is being horrible. That's not a big deal. But it is when he's targeted the most out of any wide receiver.
Yes.
And that goes back to Jalen Hurts targeting a guy 7 times that came into the month of November with 5 receiving yards. That is troubling. You have the Heisman Trophy winner out there. You target him 4 times. Like, that's a joke.
It's terrible.
Like, the game plan was horrible.
Dallas Goedert's got to be better.
He does. Like,
and he needs more opportunities, but he got to be better.
He had a drop,
the drops
too.
Is, yeah. He's had dropsies. He's had dropsies for 3 weeks.
Yeah, he... but, I mean, you pay that guy that amount of money, and you only target him 3 times.
That makes sense.
Against a bad defense.
Hey, Marcus in Philadelphia joins us on the Fanatic. Good morning, Marcus.
Hey, Marcus. What's going on, John?
What's up, buddy?
Good. I had called you before or whatever. I got your name wrong. Apologize for that.
Oh, it's okay, buddy.
But I'm calling because I'm mad this morning or whatever. I had heard the end game show with Jamie and the Trunas or whatever.
Yeah.
Everybody was on Rager, which they was or whatever, and I'm trying to figure out why this morning y'all not talking about Rager or y'all not talking
We've
about...
We've talked a lot about Rager this morning.
Well, I'm talking about far right, man, because I hear Jalen Hurts more than anybody.
No, I slammed the coaching staff at the beginning of the show, and I just slammed the coaching staff again in this hour, in this segment, while you were on hold.
Marcus, I would honestly bench Jalen Rager.
I'd bench him, too.
You were benching, right?
Oh, absolutely. He's a detriment to the team right
now. I would not play him.
Exactly. But another thing I want to know is, why didn't Kenny Gainwell get no touches in the backfield yesterday? And Boston Scott got all them touches right there.
Well, I think Kenny Gainwell has not been as effective when given the touches. Is that, Pat, is that fair?
Oh, a little bit, yes. But I also found it amazing that as soon as Boston Scott fumbled, they put Gainwell in. Like, what? So you didn't have faith in him the entire game?
Correct.
And then as soon as Boston Scott fumbles, that's when...
Then you do.
Oh, okay. Like, come on, man. Like, then that goes to coaching.
It just is. They don't... It's like guys go doghouse with this team, with this coaching staff really quickly, except if you're Jalen Rager.
Yeah.
You never go in the doghouse.
No, I don't know what it is. I mean, I don't know how many times on this program I have to say Jalen Rager sucks.
Yeah, you've said it quite often.
He's not good.
Yeah, you've said that too.
Yeah, I was proven correct yesterday.
Yeah, I think
and
you've
it's
been
not something
correct.
That I enjoy bragging about. I want him to be good. He's just incapable of being good because he sucks.
You can get in with us at 610-632-0975. Manny in Philadelphia. Manny, good morning. You're on the Fanatic.
Yeah, how you doing?
Hey, Manny.
I'm pretty good this morning, besides the fact that I don't understand why this guy hasn't been cut. I would have walked into the locker room and I would have cut him. He would not be on a team, bus, plane, whatever they took to get up there to play this game yesterday. He would not be on that piece of equipment getting back.
Oh, no. You see, he said, well, first of all, but I think it was a bus. I think they took the bus.
Yeah.
But I would have had his stuff.
He would have walked home.
I would have had his stuff sitting outside the bus. I mean, there's easy ways. He could call an Uber. I mean, it'd be an expensive Uber, but.
Man, listen. I agree with Matt Rhule. He should have ran home on the side of the bus.
Well, Matt Rhule right now might be thinking about.
Yeah, they lost a bad one yesterday.
Carolina fans are sort of thinking that they'd like Matt Rhule to maybe start taking a run back.
Matt Rhule hurt the Eagles yesterday.
Yeah?
Because, I mean, they lost to the Dolphins.
Correct.
Yes.
By the way, the Dolphins, they've made that.
Now the Dolphins have the same record as the Eagles.
The Dolphins pick is worse than the Eagles pick.
It keeps getting backed up every week.
And they have many more winning games coming their way. That pick's going to be more like 13-15.
By the way,
and the Eagles pick might end up being like 12.
We just keep backing
it
up.
An Uber estimate, MetLife Stadium to Lincoln Financial Field, only $142.90.
Oh, well, then he could have paid that easy.
That's right now, though.
That's true.
Oh, after the game surge?
Peak, yeah, surge.
Would have been a surge.
You'll enjoy this one. Dustin from Willow Grove reached out to me yesterday and said he got home quicker from MetLife Stadium than he did from Lincoln Financial Field.
Oh, my God.
I'm not shocked.
That's ridiculous.
I'm not shocked. It is insanity. This city cannot figure out how to clear out a stadium complex.
I don't think they try. It's absolutely absurd.
No, they don't.
Yeah.
They don't because they don't have personnel literally blocking down streets. There is, I can tell you this, the city of Atlanta is run like a sitcom. Horribly. Horrible mismanagement, horrible leadership. But even they're smart enough to say, oh, well, there are six lanes, three each way coming in towards the stadium. We can make all six lanes go out.
Yeah.
And they can do that.
Yeah, you can do that.
I don't understand why somebody, let brighter minds prevail. That's sort of, you know what I
think of. Think of the leadership we have in this fine city that we live in.
Yeah.
I'm not surprised.
Yeah.
You make a fine point, Pat.
Guy just lost $30 million at one point. Just misplaced it. So,
you know, sometimes those things disappear.
Yeah. Sometimes, when have you not lost?
30 mil.
Who of us has not lost $1 million?
Yeah. It's,
let alone 30.
I just don't think it's high on the priority list.
Oh, my gosh. Hey, tomorrow's Giving Tuesday. And so when you enjoy Cyber Monday today or all those Black Friday sales are online, tomorrow we have a takeover of the show by the American Association for Cancer Research for Giving Tuesday. And I hope tomorrow you'll save 5, 10, 15, 20 bucks, whatever you got, to be able to donate to the cause tomorrow. We'll be telling you all about it here on The Fanatic.
Lovely.
By the way, is Black Friday's not a thing anymore? It's a thing that people
ask TV stations.
I understand, but they, you know what's weird is? They had one of the local TV stations, and I'm not sure which one of what. Which one is Days of Our Lives? It's NBC, so which one is that?
No,
what number is it? No, what number is NBC?
Ten.
They had somebody, and like, you know, okay, now we're live at the parking lot to show you Black Friday. The parking lot in the morning at like 8:30 was probably half full.
It's not what it used to
be. It's not what it used to be at all.
There's this thing, and it's pretty new.
It's cool. I love it.
I think I know where you're going.
It's called the internet.
It is really good, by the way.
And you can go on these things called websites, and it's the company it runs, and you can just buy your stuff there.
By the way, I love it.
Yeah,
I every year, I go more and more to buying online.
Oh, it's the best.
Yeah,
but the one thing I will not do buy online is I won't food shop online. But I will, like, I don't do, like, deliver food.
We do it in, like, not emergency, but, like, tight spots where we might not have the time.
No, I'm talking about, like, a meal even. Like, bring me a dinner.
You know.
Oh, really?
I don't like it. Because the food never comes, the food always comes sweaty.
Well, I'll order online, but I'll go pick up.
Okay.
I'm a big pickup guy.
You like pickup.
Yeah.
You do that.
I'll pick up.
The food still gets sweaty.
Because of that reason.
The bag's wet.
I can pick it up in 20 minutes, but if I get a delivery, it's an hour and plus.
Let's hear Nick Sirianni explain why. What did they just pay Dallas Goedert? Like $50 million?
57?
Around 50. But they didn't target him a lot yesterday. Why is that, Nick Sirianni?
Nothing in particular. They doubled Dallas a couple times on third down. I didn't think they did anything special to him, like hitting him at the line of scrimmage, put Bradberry on Devontae, but I felt good about that matchup still. But, you know, that's just the way the game went today. Those are our two best playmakers in the passing game. Passing game wasn't good enough, so of course it's going to start with we got to get him the football more.
Okay, you, Jamie, I know what you and Tunis were doing on the postgame show. You guys cut out of the Jalen Hurts press conference. Jalen Hurts after the game yesterday, he bothered me. And I've been a Jalen Hurts fan. I really enjoyed him behind a microphone a lot. But yesterday, he pulled every cliche out of the Nick Saban playbook. And it is. It's stuff that I've heard Saban talk about for years. I've heard Saban's players. They're programmed at Alabama to how to answer things. But yesterday, he spent 500 words telling us nothing. Jalen Hurts.
Yeah, he's steady all the time, and that's a good thing most times. Sometimes you want to see a little passion or just know that he's ticked off or know that he's upset. I mean, you saw the guy's heartbreak when Jalen Reagor dropped both of those. So clearly he was ticked off. And I don't expect him to throw teammates or coaches under the bus, but it's just I wanted to see a little passion out
of
him yesterday.
He's very nonchalant about that loss.
Yeah.
And that bothered me.
And so was Reagor.
Absolutely. And, right. You know, we're going to get to him coming up.
Yeah, they were. And look, I'm sure they're ticked off. If they're not, I don't want them on my football team. But they were both a little nonchalant for my liking.
I didn't like the whole tone of any of it.
That's why after a loss like that, I usually don't listen to postgame pressers because nothing that is said is going to make me feel better. It's all going to piss me off.
Yeah.
Even right down to the tone. I mean, That's how most of these athletes are trained at this point, is to be. I mean, Carson Wentz was the same thing, and
non-inflammatory.
It doesn't help because you sit there going, "I'm more pissed off than you." How is that possible?
And you know it's probably not true,
and it's probably not. Like how? But in that moment, it sure seems like it because I'm sitting there cursing, throwing stuff, and he's sitting there telling me, "Well, we got to do a better job, and we have to do this."
Well, he used every he had all Saban's.
Yeah, I think when Andrew and I cut out, it was somebody asked him about like how big of a loss it was, and he said, "Well, it was a card check kind of game."
Oh, jeez.
And we were just like, "What?"
All right. Well, they are checking. Well, in Philly, they are checking. I mean, you can't even go to a restaurant without being checked. You have to carry the card. You have to carry the card now.
Yeah.
Maybe Jalen's now being in the city, he has to constantly show his card to be able to like have a sandwich.
Well, there's apps for that.
You know?
A card check kind of game.
Yeah, I was like, all right.
Well, you can't say
here.
Phone check, can you, Jamie?
It was a winnable game, is what it is.
It was so winnable.
And you crapped the bed.
It was terrible. It was absolutely awful. Hey, we appreciate you getting in with us this morning. If you want to jump in, we'll have some of our juror audio coming up. 610-632-0975 as we do the postmortem on what was an atrocious Eagles Sunday. But thankfully, the Union got a win for us yesterday, which is great. We'll give them a little bit of love coming up. And the Flyers and the Sixers, they are not going to escape our grasp. We'll get to it next. It's the John Kincaid Show here on 97.5 The Fanatic. I am here for my friends at College Ave Student Loans. With your high school senior getting those acceptance letters, and Olivia is stacking them up right now, but she's also having that wonder is how much is it going to cost to go to each school? So you want to relieve the stress, simplify the process by going to collegeav.com. Because College Ave isn't just about grabbing you the best loan, even though that's what they're so spectacular at. You're going to find free tips, resources, expert advice to help you navigate the financial road to college. You're going to be better prepared. They got tasks and all kinds of tips for applying for financial aid, finding scholarships, and more. It's collegeav.com. And you do it with your high school senior. Their easy-to-use student loan calculator will estimate the monthly cost of a student loan, and you can even enter to win a $1,000 scholarship, and a new winner is chosen each month. Go to collegeav.com. They will guide you through the college journey from start to finish. And I promise you, you're going to sleep easier tonight. No purchase necessary to enter the scholarship contest. Sit with your high school senior. Prepare them. Have them buy in and be a part of it at collegeav.com.
97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
97.5 The Fanatic.
A Football Monday on The Fanatic is brought to you by Pierce Phelps Bryant Heating and Air Conditioning Contractors. Visit NoPayBryant.com. Get flexible spending options on a new heating and cooling system. Remember, it's Sweets Week on The Fanatic. Sweets Week. Which means you can win tickets to come with us to see the Sixers play the Miami Heat on Wednesday, December 15th. We will be in the catered suite down at the Wells Fargo Center, and you and a guest will join us every day this week. We will have a winner, and they will bring a guest, and we will hang out with you and enjoy that game. So we hope that you will be listening all day long. 9:20 this morning is when you will play the Know the Show question, and you will answer whether you've been listening closely this morning. Try to figure this thing out.
Yep.
Jamie, will you win the Know the Show question?
I hope so.
Pat, could you win it? Maybe.
Probably not. So I have a memory of a goldfish.
There you go.
It's a good thing sometimes.
Hi, Dory.
Sometimes.
Hi, Dory.
What's
Mike,
your name?
Mike and Del Rand joins us on The Fanatic. Mike, you had said something last week to us, and now it's not true.
Yeah, I know, and I'm here to talk about
it. It's okay. It's okay.
Before I do that, real quick, John, if you don't mind, I just want to give a birthday shout-out to my oldest. She turned 17 today.
Wow.
I was 23 when she was born before her. I was a mess. I was a drug addict. I was a scumbag. That kid saved my life. So,
what is her name?
Gorgeous. Madison. Happy birthday.
Happy birthday, Madison.
Happy birthday, Madison. Thanks for making dad a better man. How about that?
Oh, man. And as proud as I am of her, and as much as she made me great, the Eagles, I am that disappointed in. Look, I didn't see it coming, okay? And shame on me. Like, this is the first game I feel they lost that they were supposed to win.
Yes.
And,
yes.
To play down to your opponent like that and to not show up, I thought the defense had a decent game, but Sirianni and Hurts, that's probably the worst they've seen this season. And to have a football season where I've seen two of the worst games of my life, it's just depressing. They need to get it together because the playoff chances dwindle. Go Birds!
There you go, buddy. And happy birthday again to Madison.
Yes.
That is absolutely awesome. So yesterday morning, I go to the, I do my Sunday morning thing now that I'm, you know, puttering around. So I hit Wegmans over in Downingtown. So that's like my go there and see, and they have just the stuff because I get that
I
can just bring in and take home and know that I'm going to be fine. So I'm in there, and one of my old hockey players is in there. John Brentnall is in the, he's in there, and I pass him. And as we're checking out, I said, I got a really bad feeling all of a sudden. I did not have a bad feeling all week long about that.
Neither did I.
Yesterday morning, I woke up a feeling of dread. And the last thing, we're at the checkout counters, and I know they love that when people are talking in different aisles. And I just said, I got a bad feeling about today. A terrible feeling about today. And then I text my cousins right before the kickoff, and I'm like, I got a bad feeling about this.
So you're to blame.
I just had a bad feeling all morning.
I did, too.
I felt it was coming. I could feel it. I woke up. I swear to you, Saturday, I didn't feel that way at all.
Man, I had a great feeling.
Mine started when the Cowboys lost. When the Cowboys lost on Thanksgiving, it was like,
oh, boy.
Oh, no, this is the game they're supposed to win. The Cowboys just lost. You can move within a game of them. And then my buddy, who's really sharp at reading lines, texted me Sunday morning. He said, Giants plus 3.5 are on the front doorstep. And I went, I don't like this at all.
I did find the line fishy.
It dropped from 4 to 3.5. And I went, I shifted on Saturday, like, big time.
I was so confident in the game that I had a kegs and eggs tournament yesterday. And in between games, I was like, putting my one-game parlay and... You know, Eagles minus 7.5. And
oh, boy.
Devontae Smith over Dallas. Like, I mean, I hammered it. And, guys, it didn't pan out. I lost.
By the way, one of the... what is the show, and I'm sorry that I don't know the name of it. Amy Fadul was
Breaking
hosting
Bad.
It yesterday morning. Amy Fadul does not host Breaking Bad.
Okay, well,
she is not on meth.
I think it's Better Call Saul. Better Call
Saul. Amy hosted, and it was around 11:30 yesterday.
I don't know.
Before the kickoff show, Amy was hosting a show. They had a lot of betting people on.
Oh, yeah, I know what you're talking
about. Here's what I'm going to say to NBC Sports Philadelphia with this. I watched the show, by the way, Amy doing a great job with it. The people that are on, when you are asked in a pick segment to make a pick, just make a damn pick. They literally all waffled, like waffle. Well, I with the line, I like the Eagles to win, but the line, just make a damn pick. You're on a pregame show.
Do we do it every week?
Make a pick. Yeah, we do. And sometimes they're not good, Pat.
Yeah.
Sometimes you get stressed out too. And our friends at Hand and Stone want to help you with that.
Do the birds have you stressed out? Let's find out how stressed.
Dana Savage was stressed. We chose the email from Dana. Could be a guy, could be a girl. Dana said the defense needs to protect more and have better all-around coverage. Wait a minute. If you're blaming the Eagles defense after yesterday, Dana, come on.
Well,
come on.
To defend Dana, we don't know when she sent this, and there were drives where they were kind of getting diced up.
That is the truth. They could call in during the show and send
it in. You can email it whenever you want.
Sean Galazinski said Jalen Reagor caused him stress. The fact that he's allowed to put on an Eagles jersey at every 1st and 15th he collects a paycheck stresses him out. Now, Sean, in the holiday season, that's not very loving, so check out our friends at Hand and Stone. They're going to give you a massage. They're going to calm you down. You'll absolutely love Hand and Stone.
Yeah, there was a lot to be stressed out of yesterday.
Oh, my gosh. It was terrible.
Mostly all on the offensive side of the ball.
That was terrible.
I still can't believe he dropped both of them.
I can.
One would be believable. Two is... you shouldn't be playing on an NFL team right now.
The first deep ball that Jalen Hurts has had where he actually hit a guy in stride.
Yeah, his two best throws of the day were probably those balls.
He hits him in the helmet.
Well, he had that Quez one in Denver.
Okay.
That was the most beautiful ball he's ever thrown. I mean, that was a spectacular.
They're so few and far between, though, that you have to really cherish them when they happen, and he ended up...
I mean, maybe Reagor was shocked.
He might have been, that he didn't have to come back for.
I'm not giving Reagor any passes here. Let's do that. Let's check out some of our juror audio from yesterday.
It's the John Kincaid Show's inaugural Birds Jury of 12. Now, let's head to the courtroom.
Active jurors yesterday, Patrick?
The sea was angry, my friend, like an old man's.
Returning soup out of deli.
Let's start off with Bob's juror, Alyssa.
Hey guys, Alyssa, juror number 2. What an absolute dumpster fire of a game that was. This game was a much-needed reality check that this is still a mediocre team, but they played a less-than-mediocre game today. At the end, I found myself being mad about the draft all over again after watching Bricks for Hands, Reagor, lose the game for them not once, but twice in a 2-minute span. He realizes he has to catch a bus back to Philly, right? If he makes it back, I hope that his key card doesn't work when he arrives at the facility on Wednesday.
Oh my.
I saw the
That's the saltiest Alyssa's been.
Yeah, that was pretty salty. I saw a hilarious tweet. Remember when Jamal Adams was trying to go into the Jets facility?
Yes.
And the door was locked. It was like, this is Jalen Reagor come Monday morning at the NovaCare.
I was like, are you surprised he had to put in like a code at that door?
Kind of.
Shouldn't he have like a fob?
It's the Jets.
I'd rather have a code than a fob.
It is the Jets. Oh, really?
Yeah.
Really?
Because then you don't have to carry the fob with you. I hate these things.
There are some people that easily lose their fob.
Yes.
They do lose. Well, the fob is not a fob. That's a card.
Anthony's like probably lost like 20 cards. I think he's cut off from getting more cards.
Unbelievable.
All right, so the next one we have here is Chris.
This is Chris, you're number 5. Yeah, that game stunk. It was boring. It was pitiful. Hurts showed major regression as a passer. Still very good with his legs, but I need to see more of the arm. When they got to show your rushing stats for your passing stats, that's not the kind of quarterback I personally like, but I need to see more. Also, Reagor stinks. Worst thing to cry about bad is he can't do anything right. Not even a punt return. Don't get me started with 2-drop passes. He stinks. And I don't want to hear anything about playoffs yet.
Man, that there's great passion in the post-game anger.
Yeah, I can't disagree with anything Chris said.
I was more bummed out last night.
I was pissed.
So you were more pissed?
Mine's turning to pissed today, yesterday.
I'm more pissed this morning than I was yesterday.
Yeah, me too. Yesterday was more, what?
I think the problem was with yesterday's game is that, you know, it was the I hate to say his name, but it's the Justin Jefferson.
Yes.
And it's like you finally see them try to get Rager involved, and that's the kind of performance you get. So it all came pouring out of the fan base. That's why he's getting a lot of the blame. He wasn't good.
I got to tell you, I'm still floored watching Justin Jefferson. I watched every snap he took in college. I was in SEC country. That's what we did primarily. I never thought he would be this kind of receiver in the NFL. Never. Yeah,
the fact that him and Jamar Chase were together.
Jamar Chase, I thought,
is
was the reason that he was as good as he was. And I also didn't want him. I don't think I want him in the slot, but.
You know what? Yeah. I think the Eagles agree with you, John.
Yeah, I think they did. All right, one more?
Yeah, let's check in with Jeremy.
Hey, it's Jeremy, juror number one. This game had trap game written all over it, but you take this and you still build from it. We found our calling. We are a very good running football team, and it's time we really expand on that. But learn from the mistakes and just get better.
Okay, now they see he's more reasoned. Just, you know, he's got the anger. He's more calm about it. And then he's like, you know, well, let's we can fix this. We can fix this.
Yeah, I mean.
Just get better from it.
Just be a running-based offense all the time. I don't care who the opponent is.
Again, it's what bothers me with analytics. If the Eagles have an analytics department, and one of the biggest in the NFL, reportedly, the biggest commitments to analytics. Schlereth was like to me, he goes, dude, that analytics operation with the Eagles is crazy. He's like, it's crazy the amount of people they have doing this stuff and breaking stuff down and the amount of stuff at their access. And he, you know, he visits teams all the time.
Yeah, a guy named Alec Hallaby is the head of it.
Then what the hell was he doing on yesterday? How do you have that game plan?
Well, he got hired because he's Jeffrey Lurie's kid's friend.
He is.
Like, well, then that helps.
I'm not making that up.
Well, that's wait a minute, though. He must have been a real hell of a player in high school or something.
Oh. No, he looks like me.
He must have been then like like a scout or something.
No. He probably played Madden a few times.
He must have.
I think he went to Harvard.
He must know football.
Yeah, he went to Harvard.
Yeah. Well, then.
With Ryan Fitzpatrick.
If you do not understand, if you could, every one of us could sit there and look at what the Giants do and what they do well and what they do poorly and can understand how you should have attacked them yesterday. And the fact that they didn't was pathetic.
Well, problem with these
it's absolutely pathetic.
These analytics department, with the Eagles you're talking about, you hire so many guys, you overanalyze, you overthink, and next thing you know, it's like too many cooks in the kitchen, and that's the kind of game plan you come out with. It's just a joke.
There you go. Had the pleasure the other day at the Flyers game. There was one bit of pleasure, at least one thing that was good. I met Nick or Cole, one of our young listeners.
Nick or Cole?
It's Urkel.
Oh, okay. I thought you said Nick or Cole.
E-R-C-O-L-E. Nick or Cole. I met him at eat. So I put up a picture and said, girls going to their first Flyers game. And by the way, it was very kind of Gritty to come by and visit us.
Oh.
Came by and visited us.
So Skylar was very excited. I forgot we had a Gritty ornament and we decorated the tree yesterday.
She loved that, right?
And she was like, ooh, who's he?
So Olivia had a little private meeting with Gritty, which was a lot of fun. But
He's the best.
So Nick just tweets at me and goes, I'd love to get a picture. Just give me, you know, are you available? I said, sure. So I DM him. I said,
$10.
Come and see me. Yeah. I didn't, and you know what? I should have. Because it looks like he may have had some cash, but I was stupid. I messed this up. But Nick, it was great meeting you. And Nick's family involved with the Misconduct Tavern.
Ah, I've been there many times.
The Misconduct Taverns.
Yes.
In Center City.
I believe there's three of them.
Flyers are doing something with them.
He said, you need to come out and see us.
Oh.
God forbid that we go to a place that
I like
has
bars.
Bars, food and beverage.
That's not a place for Jamie at all.
Sounds like a winner. Sounds like a junkie.
You could drag me there.
Sounds like a junkie cage show outing.
I'm in.
That's a Misconduct Tavern. I know they do stuff with the Sixers too, I believe.
I think so. I know they're doing something with Coatsy because Coatsy has reads about it during the Flyers game. So
Coatsy is, you know, just. Why would you pick Steve Coats to do, you know, reads about a tavern? Wait a minute. Who would be better to do reads about a tavern than Coatsy? So it was nice to meet Nick, and he was over with his dad too. And his dad, he took a picture with both of us on his social media. His dad looks like Brett Brown.
Yes,
really,
he does.
Looks like Brett Brown.
Yeah, he does. You showed me the picture. I was like,
the
Brett
facial
Brown
hair. So it's his. Remember, Sweets Week. Know the show. 9:20 today. your chance to win tickets all week long. Every day, we're going to give one person an opportunity to win a pair of tickets to come to the Sixers game against the Heat on December the 15th. And so you're going to have your opportunity. If you're listening to the show today, you'll have your opportunity to be able to take care of business and win some tickets to go see the Sixers with us. But you have to know the show. You have to be listening all day long. We'll have different ways to give away the tickets every day this week. This is what we're doing today. Coach loves to know the show.
He
loves to know the show.
He quote-unquote comes up with this idea as if we don't kind of know where he's going with it. He loves, there's a couple things that Coach loves to give away. Know the show, Jersey Math. Coach lives for Jersey Math. One, I guarantee, and I can say this because he's not here today, I guarantee one of the days this week will be Jersey Math.
Oh, bet your balls.
Well, no, one of the days is going to be what we want to do, too.
What?
One of the days is going to be what we want to do, too.
No.
Oh, no, it will.
This is a Coach Camille production.
It will. He's going to come back with a tan. It's going to piss me off.
All complaints, ecamille@bbgdi.com.
Yeah, I was sitting by a fire Saturday night. Coach is in San Diego kicking it up in 70-degree weather.
By the way, our buddy Bill Strobel painted murals in all three of the misconduct.
Oh, yeah, they do have some chalk art
up
there.
So he says he knows his dad, Chuck.
If you see chalk art in Philadelphia, there's a good chance Bill Strobel did it.
By the way, Chuck did not come over for a picture.
Oh.
So dad just stayed in his seat. Just so you know, youngster.
See where we
Nick
stand.
Comes over. So it just goes, we haven't won dad over yet. But Nick comes over.
We'll get you.
This is not your father's radio.
By the way, when the picture came back, I said, so this young man wants to take my picture. So I go and take a picture with him. So I go and I go take the picture. I come back and then Olivia sees it posted on social media and she goes, oh.
She wanted to be in it.
And I'm like, oh. So Olivia sees young Nick and goes, oh, I should have gone out with you. And she says flat out, I should have gone out with you for that picture. So, I mean, it's just great stuff. Really some nice stuff there, though. We appreciate it. In the linchpin, Jamie says somebody on the Sixers is on the naughty list.
This is the linchpin.
Yeah, the vibes sucked all weekend, and Saturday night should have been an indication that Sunday was going to suck. That end of the game, by the way, incredible play by Tyrese Maxey and Andre Drummond to even send it to another overtime. Incredible play. You rarely ever see that work out in the NBA. Incredible. The final play call out of the timeout on the sideline, I think there was roughly just under 5 seconds. I want to say 4.7 seconds remaining. Doc Rivers, come on, man.
Oh, my gosh.
To me, it was pretty simple. Joel Embiid was getting quickly doubled the majority of the night. I mean, that was the Wolves' only hope. Use that knowledge to design a better play call there. You know if Embiid's receiving the inbounds pass with no time remaining, they're going to double him. I simply would have just said, Joe, catch it, face, and find the open man. Seth Curry at the top of the key while Joel dribbled with his back to the basket in a bad three-point attempt. With some pretty athletic defenders on him. I believe Anthony Edwards was on him. I know you're 7 foot and you dominated the game. You know, Michael Jordan had no problem at times passing to John Paxson and Craig Elo. Not Craig Elo, Craig Hodges.
Okay.
You know, some of these other types. You don't have to win a game with your superstar every single time. To me, that was a clear, Joe, get it and kick it. Because they're going to crash a double real hard. Somebody's going to be open. Seth Curry was standing wide open at the top of the key, clapping his hands and begging for it. Let somebody else try and win a game for you there. And I don't even put it on Joe because Joe's playing.
Well, but the thing is,
I don't want to call it hero ball, but
he was
in the zone and he was feeling it that night. So I get why he wanted to do that. I put it on Doc Rivers. Like, that needs to be a better play design.
I agree with you. There's no arguing. It's got to be a better one. I mean, that was terrible.
Watching him like just
letdown.
Flail at the 3-point line with his back to the basket and a kind of fadeaway. It was a horrible shot with the game on the line. It left a real bad taste in my mouth because after the playoffs last year, Doc's, you know, on my radar. And now I see something like that and I look at it differently than I would have a year ago. Because a year ago it was, all right, well, you know, he's still learning, yada, yada, yada. Now I look at it like, that's got to be a better play there. It just has to be.
Mm-hmm.
That's a bad loss. You should have won that game six different times.
I don't blame on you at all. I mean, I don't blame you for feeling that way.
And Tobias Harris missed a clutch free throw there. I hate to say he's just a guy because it makes it sound like he's bad. He's not worthy of the contract. And I know that's not his fault. I would take the contract too. This team's in trouble because you can't sink a team with a max player and then have one of your other max players beat Tobias Harris.
It's terrible.
They're just kind of floundering right now. And it was great to see Joel back, but man, I'm kind of distraught about the direction right now.
I think we're going to be there until
something happens.
Until something happens with that.
And look, December 15th, when the trade pool opens up a little wider in the league, maybe something will finally happen that's only 2 weeks away, finally. But, man, something's got to happen with this team.
By the way, here's the funny thing on our story that we had earlier, where I said to you, well, Nick, his dad looks just like Brett Brown. He's got the picture. It was Brett Brown.
Oh, that is Brett Brown.
It was Brett Brown on the picture that was sitting there.
Yeah.
So he got the picture with Brett Brown. And here's the bad thing.
I only
thing,
saw
though.
For a quick glimpse. I was like, man, that guy looks a lot like
it
Brett
is
Brown.
Brett Brown. He's got the Brett Brown picture.
Yeah.
So I'm like, wait a minute here. So he was, the picture is with Brett Brown. So
that would explain why it looks like Brett Brown.
Now, the picture with Brett Brown takes prominence on his feed.
Yeah.
I think he's got that one pinned.
This is kind of like when Tony Hawk gets recognized and people are like, hey, you look like Tony Hawk. And he's like,
yeah, I am.
Yeah, I guess so. I don't know.
I am, yeah.
Wonder what that guy's up to.
This. What is that guy doing? Unbelievable. Hey, if you're a fan of our show, and we hope you are, take the Kincaid Club personality pop quiz on our contest page to see which one of us you're most like. And you can win a $100 Amazon gift card just for playing along. You can do that.
A lot of Cyber Monday shopping with $100.
Have you got any eyes on anything? Do you wait for Cyber Monday, or are you impatient and take a deal beforehand?
I try to wait a little bit. I texted my wife this morning. I was like, hey, Cyber Monday, keep your eyes peeled because we have to get like our nieces and stuff some presents. So it's good for that type of stuff.
Yeah, I want to get a desk. The only thing we're missing in the house right now is I need a desk, and I need a desk specifics like specs, but it's not a crazy size
Wayfair
desk,
baby,
that fits well. The Wayfair is fine, but they only do front porch delivery. So we found one that I want, but they only do front porch delivery, and this thing is a big
complicated
desk. So you're like, they're
wrong,
gonna
what's wrong with front porch?
Well, that means he has to put it
then
together.
No, front porch delivery, no, they will deliver it put together, but they leave it on your front porch.
Oh, that's lame.
Oh, Cousin Ryan or Cousin Matt's going to have to come help you.
Well, I mean, it's to navigate getting it. Yeah, but yeah, you don't know what day it's going to come.
Yeah.
They can't guarantee when it's going to come. When you leave it on the front. When you leave it on, yeah, but you got to leave it on the front porch.
Yeah.
Just have the desk on the front porch. That's a power move.
Desk on the front porch?
What's our neighbor doing over there? Oh, he's doing work.
He's doing work. Boy, he's always working.
Yeah, he's got his desk set up.
All right, coming up in the 8 o'clock hour, yesterday was a disaster. And we'll hear more from you at 610-632-0975. But where do you go from here? We'll get to it next. John Kincaid Show on the Fanatic. One of the things I love best about the Park Sportsbook app, my Park Sportsbook app, is that it's not just about picking winning teams. In fact, they give you all these great things. How about yesterday? I won $65 on a $10 bet because they give you a trifecta every Sunday afternoon. Do you want to bet on three-team parlay to win the 4 o'clock game? So I won with Denver and San Francisco being two of the winners yesterday, helped lead me through. You'll love the Park Sportsbook app. You get these incredible odds. You get incredible power boosts all the time on your bets. You're going to love it. The same game parlays, exceptional. Go to parkscasino.com/PA. Use my promo code Kincaid, and you'll get a risk-free bet of up to $500. It'll be refunded in site credit should you lose. Come join me with the Park Sportsbook app. You're going to love this thing, and hopefully you're going to be a big winner. You got to be 21 and in the state of Pennsylvania. If you have a gambling problem, please call 1-800-GAMBLER.
97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
97.5 The Fanatic.
John Kincaid Show on The Fanatic and our 8 a.m. sponsor. So our friends at Martin Law, the law firm for injured workers. Visit paworkinjury.com. My nephew Billy checking in. He's like, where's Bob? Everything all right with Bob? Yeah, Bob's fine. Bob's on vacation today.
A little family
Coach
time.
Coach is on vacation.
I would say this is a top three worst Monday of the year to return to work to.
It's got to be right there. Well, what's the Monday after Christmas vacation?
Absolutely. Number one.
That's number one.
Memorial and Labor Day kind of suck, but I would say Thanksgiving Monday, the Cyber Monday, as it's called now, is up there. It stinks.
Cyber Monday. I got good news for you, though, on how about, though, for next summer, then?
What's that?
4th of July is a Monday.
Oh, lovely.
So that's nice. At least you get the long weekend sort of built in.
Yeah. But then the Tuesday just becomes a Monday.
So the Tuesday's Monday?
But it's at least a short week.
And I hate Tuesday.
Oh, Tuesdays are awful.
Tuesdays, I'm always most tired.
Tuesday is my least favorite day of the week. Always, yeah. Always has
Tuesdays
been.
Tuesdays suck.
Tuesdays and the Mets.
I always.
It's just two things I hated.
I used to like I used to like going back to school on Mondays because you'd be seeing friends.
Yeah.
So you'd go out there and you'd
see. It's not a problem when you don't have friends.
You had lots of friends.
Nah, it's debatable.
I heard people went to high school with you. Said they told me you were there.
He had Charlie O'Connor.
Absolutely.
That was
lies.
It was just Charlie O'Connor.
I had to pay him.
He's the only one. I thought you had two best men.
Yeah, you can get them easily.
You and Tunis did the same thing.
You hop on Grindr.
I had two too.
All three of you?
Yeah, you hop on Grindr and you can find guys all over the place.
Seriously.
I can't choose between Cousin Mike and Cousin John, so I just went with them both.
You all went with three? You went with two best men.
I had my best friend from grade school, like long time grade school.
And they have the same name?
No.
Or is it Andrews have the same name?
No, Andrew had the same name. Mine are two psychopaths that don't like sweets.
That don't like sweets?
Yeah, they're weird. Like they don't like any like candy or ice cream. They're
both
psychopaths.
Of them.
That's weird.
Yeah.
By the way,
weird people.
I could kill at any time of day a piece of wedding cake with the sort of that buttercream icing.
Yeah.
That is
That's living right there.
By the way, the pecan pie we got, I got down at Reading Terminal.
Thank you for saying it right.
Yeah, pecan.
Yeah, it's pecan.
Oh, heavy Chevy, when we got ice cream.
Did he say pecan?
When we got ice cream in Vegas, he said pecan.
Come on, heavy Chevy.
I didn't rip
the Beeler's pie that we got at the terminal last Wednesday. Whoa.
Addie's spectacular.
Addie said it was the best she's ever had.
Oh, man.
I had it for breakfast Friday morning.
Yeah, pie for breakfast.
I'm going to go on today. I'm going to get a stone. Go to check out Stone Mountain Pecans.
Ooh,
and I'll get some stuff sent up.
That
they send the pecans in the like they're in like a sugary goodness.
Hello
glaze.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
Candied pecans.
Yeah, they're the best.
Whatever that...
It's
basically just brown sugar and butter. That's why it's so delicious. But that goo under the pecan...
I was looking for the cinnamon nuts, like cinnamon almonds.
Like the kind that you'll get like in New York City, like
right
on the street.
I thought they'd have them at the Flyers the other day.
Did they not have them anymore?
I didn't find them. Maybe I didn't find them like at the right spot, but I didn't find them the other day. Those are great. Hey, don't blame Boston Scott. Because it never should have come down to that. It was a horrible day for the coaching staff, terrible, and the quarterback. Down by six with 2:54 left, you should have at least been tied if you had just had a common sense approach to approaching this game with any kind of logic with what the Giants don't do, stop the run. Hurts was terrible. But far worse, though, was the abandoning of the game plan that worked for the past month. You were outthinking the room. Getting too cute. Another rookie moment mistake for this coaching staff. All the playoff chatter clearly didn't cause this team to have its best focus or energy. So many issues, and now the team's in win every game mode. Not that it can't happen, but it looks like a long shot. And the truth is, it was a long shot all along. So maybe we are a little upset about something we shouldn't be upset about? It was a long shot all along.
If you won that game, 56% to me isn't a long shot anymore.
No, but before the year, I'm saying.
Oh, yeah, before the year was definitely a long shot.
So for this team being in the playoff mix, it was a long shot anyway. Now, what's it? You say 20% now?
Yeah, but, you know, expectations change. And the NFL was wide open this year. The division almost became up for grabs. We'll see what the Cowboys do here. But you could have been a game behind them all of a sudden. And nobody saw that coming. You know, it was unobtainable in the beginning of the year, in my opinion. But it became very obtainable heading into this game. And just sucks.
I mean, it does. It sucks.
It was the biggest game of Jalen Hurts' career, biggest of Nick Sirianni's career. And they both came up.
Wet the bed.
Yeah, they did.
And we're going to hear from Zach Berman coming up, by the way, in just around 3 minutes.
Yeah, you know, the hard thing for me is Jalen Reagor, I think they'll never say this and we'll never know. I think he lost the confidence of his teammates yesterday. You saw Jordan Mailata in tears leaving the field. He apparently hung out with Jalen Hurts. I mean, it was like the Ralph Wiggum moment with Jalen Hurts. You saw his heart break in real time yesterday. Once that second one was dropped, I mean, he knows he had a chance to bail out himself of the worst day he's had as a professional. And to see him just sulk down like that, that's not something you see from him. And I think Jalen Reagor cost himself a lot of trust in that locker room.
Well, he did. It was terrible. It was a terrible game, but it was a terrible game plan from the beginning. You throw 80% of the time coming out in your first three possessions, stupid. It's just stupid. There's nothing else to say for it. When you see what the Giants do, if you have an analytics department, I'd be in with the analytics department saying today, did they not listen to the analytics department? Or did the analytics department spit out some spreadsheet that told the coaching staff this is the way to go? Because it's idiotic. Malcolm joins us on the Fanatic. Malcolm, good morning. Malcolm?
Yo.
What's up, buddy?
What's up, man? I agree with you guys about the coaching. We got to let Reagor off the hook because we already know he's a dud. We were mad when we got him. We never wanted him. Sirianni, though, you cannot call three plays for a dud back to back.
No. No, and he doubled down on it post-game, and Malcolm, he doubled down on it, talked about the fact that that's, it wasn't like we were targeting him.
Well, he ended up with seven targets, so explain that to me.
At least five of them were absolutely plays meant for him, drawn up for him. The third, I'm still going to go back to the third and two, throwing the ball to Gainwell in the early third quarter. And then the fourth and two, you decide to go for it, Billy Big Balls, and then you choose Jalen Reagor to be the guy you go to.
Yeah, so I might have missed this. Sid Islam tweeted us earlier, and he said that Hurts waved off the punt team.
He did.
So
no, whoa.
So maybe
no,
that
Sirianni was in support of it, though.
Yeah, clearly you have to be. You can always override that.
Correct.
But if he was planning on punting there, maybe it does change his third down play call. You know what I mean?
Oh, okay.
That's something that maybe should have been discussed.
That's not a bad idea.
Going into the third down, like, hey, this is a go-for-it spot. Let's run here.
Nobody should have to pay for one-size-fits-all insurance coverage. Liberty Mutual is going to customize your home and your car insurance so you only pay for what you need. And we know that you can always go to the Comcast Business Hotline when we're trying to check up on the best in the business here locally, catching us up on everything out of the Athletic. He's Zach Berman, covering your Philadelphia Eagles. And Zach, it is a much different Monday morning appearance than we've had in the past month. It seems there was regression, the word of the day yesterday, for the coaching staff. Good to be with you this morning.
Same. It's good to be with you guys, too. And yes, regression from the coaching staff and regression from the quarterback. He turned the ball over three times and took points off the board at the end of the first half. I understand the angst about the game plan. That said, an average quarterback wins that game tomorrow. An average quarterback wins that game yesterday. Jalen Hurts was bad, and that was a problem for the Eagles.
Zach, what I can't understand is Mark Schlereth was telling me about how extensive the Eagles analytics department is and how impressive the whole operation is. So I'm wondering, why in the hell was there a game plan yesterday to throw the ball so often coming out of the gate against a team that can't stop the run?
I don't believe yesterday's game plan was analytics inclined or came from the analytics department. I think part of it was the way Sirianni wanted to attack the Giants. Part of it was situation dependent. You know, the fact that they were unproductive early on first downs. They got some second and 10, third and 10s, and they wanted to pass out of those. But that said, they had that three and out in the first half when it was three consecutive passing plays. I think 11 of their first 16 plays were passing plays. So Sirianni said after the game they liked some of what they saw out of the play action in the dropback game. I frankly thought that they overthought it. When you looked at the Giants defense going into the game, you should have had confidence they could run on them. Frankly speaking, the Eagles should have confidence they can run on any team given the way they've played recently. So I was surprised about that game plan. I don't look at the overall numbers as much as those first half numbers, and they passed too much to begin the game.
Zach, on that, do we owe the Giants? I think they're a bad football team, so probably not. Do we owe them a little credit for taking away? You know, Julian Love after the game said we wanted Jalen Hurts to force him to beat us with his arm. Do we owe them some credit for taking things away from the Eagles early on that maybe forced the pass heavy option? Or was that more on the Eagles coaching staff for not sticking with what they do best?
No, I mean, I give the Giants credit in that they intercepted the passes. They played the two deep zone. But overall, I put this blame on the Eagles. I don't think the Giants played an outstanding game yesterday. I thought Jalen Hurts did not play well enough. I didn't think the play calling was good enough. I thought penalties killed them again, right? I mean, the game's entirely different if Nate Herbig doesn't have two holding penalties there that take points on the board, off the board. The game's different if Jalen Hurts just throws the ball away and they get three at least going into halftime. So I don't look at that game yesterday and say, well, the other guys get paid too. You need to give the Giants credit. I think that the Giants are not a particularly good football team. And the Eagles spoiled a pristine opportunity to win that game.
Get The Athletic. Get that fantastic deals on subscribing to The Athletic. You'll get the great work of Zach Berman and many, many others around the country. He joins us every week here on the Comcast Business Hotline. Zach, I go back to that early possession in the third quarter when it was, I believe it was third and two from the 43 of the Giants. And the play is drawn up, and it's a pass to Kenneth Gainwell. And then the fourth down, they decide to go for it after Jalen Hurts waves off the punter, and they go for it with a fourth and two pass to Jalen Reagor. I don't understand the play calling sequence there with the team that has been gashing people with the run. Why you're not getting the first down, moving the chains, and doing what you got to do there. Do you believe there was some confusion with the play calling?
Great question there. I'm with you on that sequence and some other sequences in the game. As far as confusion with the play calling, I wouldn't necessarily say confusion. I'll talk to Nick this afternoon to get more information. But my sense is that they liked some of what they saw, or I guess what they thought they could do in the passing game. And I think that regardless of what the Giants are doing against you there, don't overthink it. You're running the ball well on every defense you've seen. You ran the ball down the throats of the Saints, the best run defense in the NFL. There's no reason why you should look at the Giants and say all of a sudden you want to get the play action and the drop back game going. I understand if you're in third and long, but if you're in third and short, fourth and short, and you're running the ball the way you are, at least one of those plays needs to be at least a called run.
Yeah, Zach, you brought up the overcomplication of sports, and sometimes I think a lot of coaches fall into that trap. To me, none so more than if Devontae Smith comes up to you and says, get me the ball on the game's most crucial spot, you find a play to get him the ball. Because sometimes when you see a good to great athlete get in that mode of, I'm going to go win this for us, you find a way to incorporate him. He was rightfully so ticked off after the game. Nick Sirianni's answer kind of was a cop-out to me. Do you think I mean, I would hope he wants that one back. But do you think that's, you know, an F grade for not getting Devontae the ball down the stretch? He wasn't targeted in the final two drives.
Look, I hear you with the Sirianni criticism, and I'm not letting Sirianni off the hook. But there's one guy touching the ball on every play. There's one guy throwing the ball.
Sure.
The lack of targets to Devontae Smith, I think a lot of that's on Jalen Hurts and not on, I'll put it this way. I don't believe that the Eagles schemed those last two plays for Jalen Reagor to get the ball.
Sure, I agree.
Now, there's things you can do within the progressions to ensure that Devontae Smith gets the ball and you can put that on the coaching staff. But Jalen Hurts, he's the one who touches the ball on every play. For him to pass as often as he did yesterday, and Hurts to get, I'm sorry, and Smith to get what, four targets, Goddard to get two targets, and he had 31 pass attempts. I believe that's not good enough. If you're going to put the ball up in 50-50 situations, put it up to Devontae Smith. Put it up to Dallas Goedert. Don't put it up to Jalen Reagor. I go back to the quarterback there more so than the play call.
I'm getting frustrated too, because after a couple decades in SEC country, I hold a doctorate in Nick Saban press conferences. Mm-hmm. And Jalen Hurts just regurgitates all of the programming that he got in Tuscaloosa. I wanted to see a little bit more, disgust with what went on yesterday out of him. He was very nonchalant, and I know it's just a presser, and I know it's just words, but I think sometimes that matters, Zach.
Yeah, I think you hit it on the head as far as referring to Nick Saban. You know, I think there's a temperament that Jalen Hurts is going to have, win or lose. He takes responsibility. He doesn't hide from that part of it. But the reality is, they've lost 7 of 12 games this year, and you know they're running out of time. You can't keep saying everything you want in front of you.
Well, that's a Saban. That is a Saban playbook. I mean, that is always what they say.
Exactly. So, you know, if you turn it on week 17, week 18, that doesn't do you any good. They have very little margin for error at this point. And I do think that's something that they need to recognize, and the quarterback needs to recognize.
Zach, do you think they should take a look at punt return? And can they do better than Jalen Reagor right now? I'm very unimpressed with his punt return game. And I know it's a minor faction overall of the game. Is there any consideration of that?
There hasn't been. You know, I know that they have mixed in Quez Watkins. They have mixed in Gainwell on kickoff returns there. So perhaps it's something they look at. Frankly, the lack of return, I don't want to say return ability, but the lack of return production surprises me with Jalen Reagor. I thought at the minimum you would get that. I was saying all year last year, why is Greg Ward back here catching punts? Jalen Reagor is clearly their best punt returner. Yeah. You saw the punt return in the Packers game. I can't tell you specifically what's going on with him, but I agree they need more from the return game. And they had a really good opportunity yesterday when the defense got the Giants off the field. That was a bad punt. It was a returnable punt. And Reagor didn't do enough there either.
I got to tell you, I need you to inspect my psyche a little bit. Do I have a right to be pissed off when this team's 5-7, when I thought they'd be a 6-11 team this year? Should I really be surprised, or should I really be pissed about it?
That's a great question, and it's something I've thought about too. I think, yeah, you do have a right, because the situation changes. You know, when you look at it from a macro perspective, I totally get it. You know, I thought they were going to be a 7-10 team this year. You can look at any win being gravy, essentially. That said, when you're sitting there at 5-6, and the five games in front of you are against teams with losing records, and I know the season didn't end with the Giants game, and they can roll during these next four games to set up a good situation going into the Dallas game. But to lose that first game, yeah, I think you absolutely have the right to feel the way you do, because the expectations should change given the way they played it in the month of November.
You always make me feel a little better, Zach. Oh, I always feel more informed. I feel more a little more logical after talking to you, and we appreciate it. Everybody get The Athletic. I retweeted a great deal to be able to subscribe to The Athletic and get it for a great price and get all the great work of Zach and all his cohorts. So we appreciate your time today, Zach.
Absolutely. Thank you. Talk to you guys next week.
There you go.
See you, Zach.
Zach Berman, join us on the Comcast Business Hotline.
Yeah, he does a great job of analyzing the game and breaking it down. I love reading his stuff on The Athletic.
I will challenge you to ever find you've produced radio shows, you've hosted radio shows. I would ever a writer who you can bring on who gets to more things in a 10-minute period of time than he does.
He doesn't waste words. He gets right to it.
No, he gets right to it.
Yeah.
It might be his Syracuse upbringing.
Yeah, perhaps. Or maybe his Germantown Academy upbringing. Mm. Yeah. High school classmates with
Libby's
my wife.
Libby's got a letter from Syracuse sitting in her hand.
Oh, does she?
Yeah, she's... The process of evaluation is coming down. It's coming down. It's going to come down to the wire.
Oh, boy.
She's looking at the collegeav.com. She's looking at the money. And she's saying, what schools are going to be? I already told her, though, if I have a kid who goes to Syracuse, I'm not going to love her as much.
Yeah,
I mean, wow. I'm going to love her. I'm going to love her, but I feel the
same way if my kid wanted to go to Nova or Penn State. So
she knows.
Can she tolerate winter?
She can. Oh, yeah.
Because it gets nasty up there.
Oh, yeah. It's just going to cost dad more.
Yeah.
But she's looking. it's looking like now, my alma mater, BU.
Great school.
Syracuse, Temple.
Terriers.
And then all the southern schools, she has complete free rides. Complete free rides.
But those don't exist.
She could be on Nick Saban's campus for a full ride of everything.
Wow.
But I think she's thinking Northeast, so we'll see what happens, how it all comes together. You want to get in with us, you can, 610-632-0975. We'll get to as many of you as we can throughout the course of the morning this morning. I got the hot seat coming for you, more juror audio. Stick around. It's the John Kincaid Show on The Fanatic. You know the dress collar polo by Collars and Company. If you haven't seen it, it's amazing. It's a four-way stretch, lightweight, comfortable, luxury polo shirt, but the top has a traditional English spread collar on it. So you're going to get the look of a dress shirt, but with the comfort of your favorite polo or golf shirt. Look, you're going to be heading to company parties and family events and everything. You want to be comfortable. You want to look your best. Lightweight. It doesn't bunch. You can wear it under a sweater, wear it under a sports coat, and you can even wear a tie with it. And it comes in a variety of colors and patterns. Today, great deal for you. 20% off the entire store for Cyber Monday. 25% off and free shipping when you order three shirts or more. Check out collarsandcompany.com. It's collarsandco.com. Remember the co.com at the end. Collars and Company, you're going to be comfortable, you're going to be relaxed, you're going to look your best.
97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
97.5 The Fanatic.
A Football Monday on The Fanatic is brought to you by Pierce Phelps Bryant Heating and Air Conditioning Contractors. Visit nopaybryant.com. You get flexible spending options on a new heating and cooling system. We appreciate them being on board. And you are around 50 minutes from now, you'll get the Know the Show question of the day. And the Know the Show question, all week long on the John Kincaid Show. By the way, all week long on the Mike Missinelli Show, they have their own way of giving away things. And I heard Tyrone saying Saturday morning, I have no idea what they're doing. But Tyrone said, you have to be decorum or something. Like to win on the Mike Missinelli Show. We have to want to hang out with you, is what he said. He said they're putting up real barricades. Coming up, I can't win. I'm not sure. I'm not sure any of us would get in.
Yeah, I don't think I will. I'd be getting in, but
I don't think any of us would get in. Well, I know you wouldn't be getting in.
I'm not making the cut.
No. I think we're making the cut. Tyrone said, you got to have decorum. We got to want to hang out with you. On our show, we're thrilled you're hanging out with us. And if you are, if you know the show, you're going to be able to win today's tickets. You're going to win a pair of suite tickets for December 15th versus the Miami Heat. Should be a great game. With the entire show crew, we're going to be there, and you're going to be our guest. It's going to be a fantastic time.
I would love to overhear the conversations between Jimmy and Joel about the current state of the Sixers.
So would I.
I would love to be on fly on the wall for that one.
Now, again, I do not know this as fact, but I was told that Joel could have been back for the last two games of the road trip.
That doesn't shock me.
So, and again, I don't know it for fact, but I was told it by somebody that I believe in. He absolutely would have been available for the last game of the road trip, but he could have been available for the second to the last game of the road trip. And that, to me, makes me wonder, like, what are you doing?
Yeah, he said after the game Saturday he got rocked pretty hard by it. Maybe it's kid gloves. Maybe it's they didn't want to send him on the plane. I don't know.
Can I say this? And this is a jerk. This is a jerk comment on my part. So I will preface it by saying it's a jerk comment. As someone who has gone through really horrible cancer treatments, he says, I didn't know I was going to make it with COVID. He didn't know whether he was going to make it.
Apparently, there was a laugh in there or a smile or something.
I hope so.
Apparently. He's rarely serious.
He is. So I'm hoping that's not the case. Because there are people who deal with real...
Especially considering who you were playing that night. Like, D'Angelo Russell made some comments after the game where I was just like...
They brought everybody back
They
for
thought
us.
It was... Yeah, they guys were sitting out and they came back thinking it was fun to play us. Dude, your teammate lost like five family members to COVID.
Correct.
Shut the hell up.
Don't talk about it.
Yeah.
Don't talk about it.
I thought that was
But D'Angelo Russell is not your best teammate.
No.
That's well documented.
Of course he.
But he was.
Dude's shooting 39% from the field on the year, but he plays the Sixers and gets.
Lights out.
Lights out in the fourth quarter and overtimes. It's just awesome.
Hey, it's time for the hot seat.
Yesterday's game has everyone talking, but one person is on the hot seat. Let's find out who.
And it's brought to you by H&H Heating and Air Conditioning. For fast, friendly, and local HVAC service, visit DelcoHVAC.com. But you don't only have to be in Delco to take advantage of it. Let me bring you to this. There's one guy in the hot seat because he's the boss and he's in charge. And honestly, his responses after the game yesterday left me dumbfounded. I can't believe that Nick Sirianni doesn't just own it. We were targeting Jalen Reagor yesterday. I thought Jalen Reagor was the best option. I don't know why he just doesn't own. Yeah, we thought coming out and passing roughly 80% of the time of the first 20 plays was the best thing to do to attack the Giants. These were stupid decisions. The decision-making process yesterday was horrible. And we're not used to seeing that lately out of this coaching staff, but we did for the first 8 weeks of the year. Nick Sirianni and his coaching staff yesterday, that was malpractice. If you had an analytics department, and I was glad to hear Zach Berman say he does not believe the analytics department told them that's the way to attack.
No, I don't think so. Yeah.
Okay, well, if you're not listening to the analytics department, why do you have such a big analytics department? They could have given you the common sense to run the football. And instead, they came out pass happy, put themselves behind the chains, behind the eight ball, trailing in the game. And then they get into panic mode. Throw, 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 throw. The running game was the way to go again. Maybe Nick didn't want that. Nick, time to set your ego aside and start doing what's best for the team again. A little refresher course. Rookie mistake. You got a chance to rebound next week against the Jets, and we'll be all there for it. Thanks to our friends at H&H Heating and Air Conditioning. The Hope Brothers do a fantastic job. Fast, friendly, and local HVAC. Visit DelcoHVAC.com. But if you're in Montgomery County, Philadelphia, Chester County, you're out in Bucks County, you're in Delaware, South Jersey, H&H Heating and Air Conditioning can help you out. Go to DelcoHVAC.com. Let's check out some of our juror audio, Patrick.
It's the John Kincaid Show's inaugural Birds Jury of 12. Now, let's head to the courtroom.
What we got...
All right, as I said, it was an angry group, understandably so. Let's kick off round two with Josh from Audubon.
Josh from Audubon, juror number 12, number 18 on the Philadelphia Eagles, Jalen Reagor. He is not a good football player. Another way of saying that is Jalen Reagor sucks. Jalen Reagor stinks. Jalen Reagor is not a good athlete. Jalen Reagor stinks at catching the ball. Jalen Reagor is awful. Jalen Reagor sucks. Did I already say that? I don't know. Whatever.
Okay, Josh from Audubon was one of our replacement jurors. He came in from being in the reserve pool to step in. I'm liking Josh from Audubon. He's colorful, he's spicy, and just the right bit of sarcasm.
Yeah, look, I try not to go the route of Pat Egan and say a guy sucks, but he's kind of forcing my hand in this one. I can't do it anymore.
Yes. You can't. It's just...
I just think he's hurting the team. I think you saw it in Jalen Hurts' reaction yesterday that he's letting his teammates down. And I mentioned it to Zach as my last question. I don't think he's a positive in the return game either.
He isn't.
I just don't know what he's bringing to the table right now. If you're getting open and not catching the ball, then you might as well not be getting open because it's ineffective.
Ineffective, Pat. I like Josh. Let's move on.
Josh is my spirit animal.
Yeah,
today.
You guys spoke the same language.
Good
there.
Job, Josh.
Let's go to Quaz in Philly.
What's up, y'all? It's Quaz. Jory 11. I don't know who made the decision to go away from Goddard and Smith this week. Somebody decided that it was important to feature Reagor and Watkins. Hopefully, in hindsight, they decide that, hey, you cannot win without using your playmakers. You have Quez Watkins drop a touchdown pass last week. Ward drops one this week. Reagor dropped two touchdown passes.
Yeah, I mean, the man sums it up. Yes. I don't understand the game plan yesterday. It's one of the most aggravating game plans of the year to me.
Yeah, and I just get cold sweat flashbacks about Aguilar versus Atlanta, Ortega Whiteside versus Detroit, Alshon against New Orleans, Aguilar against New England. All these games that are more or less decided on Eagles wideout drops. I just had like all these flashbacks yesterday.
That 2019 season, if Aguilar catches that wide open right in front of us, down in Atlanta at the time, that season goes differently.
Totally.
I think losses set you up in a bad way.
Yeah, like Jalen Reagor says, well, it's just a drop. No, sometimes drops are more than just a drop. And yesterday was much more than just a drop, man.
Which drop was he referring to?
Well, yeah.
He had a few there, Jalen.
Yeah, there was two. He could
I think we can
from.
Live with one drop. But
yeah.
Got to
keep them
down,
straight.
Yeah.
We're going to hear from Jalen coming up here in the show.
Oh, are we?
Yeah, we are. But what's the third juror that's speaking?
Let's go to Allie.
Hey, it's Allie, juror 9. So I'm not really sure what the game plan was here. We all know this team can run the ball well. We know that Devontae Smith is our best receiver, but for some odd reason, we didn't play to our strengths, which was incredibly aggravating to watch. You know, I really do try to look for the silver lining each week, but I just felt like anything positive we did was immediately canceled out by a critical error, like a costly penalty or a turnover or a missed catch. So unfortunately, you know, we just didn't seem prepared, and against the Giants, it's pretty unacceptable.
Okay, if there is a real jury, I want her on it.
She has a lovely voice in delivering her displeasure.
But logical, though.
Yes.
I love the logic. Today, you blew me away with your logic on the Phillies outrage.
Yeah.
Like, you blew me away with the logic. Yeah, great logic. I love the logic.
I tried to think of a positive from yesterday, and the only one I could really come up with was the defense as a whole.
Yeah, they're better.
But in particular, the cornerbacks. I thought Slay Nelson and Avante Maddox had really good games.
They're under 23 points a game now.
Yeah, Avante Maddox, I think, is thriving this year in the slot. And I thought Darius Slay Kenny Golladay had no shot yesterday.
Would you put most improved player, if you're giving out the report cards, Avante Maddox is the guy?
Probably.
To me, he is.
Probably. And I
most improved player, because I'm not going to count Darius Slay.
No,
Darius Slay
because he was already
been fantastic, but he's supposed to be a
one of your highest paid players.
Right, exactly.
Yeah, I would probably
Avante's
give that to Avante.
The most improved.
Or maybe Jordan Mailata. I mean, this is one of those two.
He stepped in, though, and did pretty well. Pat, are you there with us?
Absolutely, yeah. The Eagles found a slot corner.
Yeah, exactly.
And it reminds me of, we talk about it all the time, but Patrick Robinson was on the verge of getting cut. They throw him in the slot as just like a last-ditch resort, and he ends up having a really good season with the Eagles. And it seems like Avante Maddox is the exact same thing.
He's having a really nice year.
By
it's
the
a
way,
shame
that
he
is...
couldn't get his feet in on that one interception. I mean, you lost the turnover battle 4-0, and you almost should have had that one. He just couldn't get his right foot inbounds the toe tap there, but that should have been a pick.
There are a lot of things that happened on the Super Bowl run in the January of 2018. But that Patrick Robinson play, and I know you've talked about it.
Greatest play I've ever seen live.
It was so amazing. And remember, Minnesota had the ball back in a 7-0 lead, and you had already crapped out.
Yeah.
So,
and you know who the unsung hero on that touchdown is? And I
just the block. Who threw the block?
At the 10-yard line.
Freaking Darby.
Ron Darby around
the
10-yard line, right?
He got blown up, but he launched his body into the guy to slow him down. It was awesome. It was the block of the touchdown.
You know what
drive.
I love in that video too when you rewatch it is there's one security guard that never looks at the field. He's doing his job. But he throws his arms up because he knows that they scored, and it always cracks me up of like he has no idea what's going on behind him.
Hey, Temple basketball battles LaSalle on Wednesday night at 7:00 at the Leocore Center. You can receive unlimited hot dogs, popcorn, and soda.
Hey now.
Plus a game ticket. All you have to do is call 215-204-8499 or visit owlsticks.com.
The kids call them glizzies, John.
Owlsticks.com.
Glizzies. Unlimited glizzies.
Glizzies, yeah. Yeah, it's glizzies.
Apparently it's a D.C. thing.
Think we're going to get word out of Temple today, Pat?
Rod Carey?
Let me tell you, this has been the most painful year of football of my life.
I'm telling you.
Between these two teams, it has been a chore to watch the sport of football this year.
It's back to... Right now, I feel like it's back to right after I graduated college. It's back to
Bobby Wallace era.
It's back to the Bobby Wallace era.
Yeah, this will be the first time they fire a coach since 2006.
Well, if they
do. With Bobby.
If they do.
There's no shot they don't.
Okay.
It's just a matter of they're dragging their feet, which is, let's just hope.
All right, let's check out what Pat's point is today. I like this idea. What's in Pat's point today?
All right. Connor, give it to me. Give it to me, Connor. I'm throwing it! I'm throwing the flag. I'm done.
Why you threw it?
He can't read a defense. He cannot read a defense. He can't beat a team with his arm. He is a poor man's Tyrod Taylor. I'm done. You are not going to win jack squat with this guy at quarterback. You saw it yesterday. A team that was decimated by injuries told you we wanted the quarterback to beat us with his arm, and he couldn't do it. He kept throwing into double coverage. Every ball he throws is seemingly underthrown. The wide receivers constantly have to come back from it. He throws lame ducks as a deep ball. He is horrible. I'm done. I don't want to hear the Jalen Hurts truthers calling up and saying every excuse in the book. I get it. You wanted him to succeed. He's not going to. I am done with him. I've thrown the flag on Sirianni. I've thrown the flag on Jalen Hurts. It brings me no joy, but this guy is not a legit NFL quarterback. He's poor man's Tyrod Taylor. He'll have a great career as a backup. He'll come in and change some things up, but that's it. You're not going to win with this guy. When the push comes to shove and he needs to win a game with his arm, he just showed you he cannot do it. I'm done.
Okay, I'm arguing with you on one point.
Go ahead.
Poor man's Tyrod Taylor.
Poor man's Tyrod
Taylor.
That's
a cheap shot.
I don't care.
That there's no way. He's better than Tyrod Taylor.
Okay.
I think he's better than Tyrod
Taylor. I think he can start in the league.
So do I.
He can start for a bad team. You know
well,
what
no,
Tyrod
it could
Taylor
be.
Does?
It could be, yeah.
Tyrod Taylor starts for bad teams.
Okay, that's fair. That's fair. But a poor man means that he's not even as good as Tyrod Taylor.
Like what I watched yesterday.
He's the Fugazi Tyrod Taylor.
Yeah, sure. He's the Wish.com Tyrod Taylor. I don't care what you want to call him. But these Jalen Hurts truthers that keep calling up and making every excuse in the book for the guy. Did you watch the game? Jamie talked about it. The New York Giants, who were decimated in the secondary, said, we wanted to make that guy beat us with his arm. And he couldn't do it.
So Jamie,
what more proof do you want?
Jamie threw the flag first. You threw the flag second.
Yeah, my headphones are coming off. My glasses are popping off. Flags are flying everywhere. I'm done.
Nephew Billy texts in and says, 1,000% in agreement. Pat Egan for president.
Okay, I'm not qualified.
Nephew Billy wants you for president?
No. I think we're
man,
good
that's
on
a little
that,
scary
but
to me.
Yeah, it's just no. He's not it.
Hey, Nephew Billy, you just worry about keeping the lights on. Keep the power on for people.
Yeah.
We need you, Pico, people.
I mean, every worst fear I had about him came to fruition yesterday.
Oh, it was terrible.
And look, I don't think his arm is trash or it's like this or that.
It's not good.
I do.
I think his arm is mediocre at best, but I think his decision-making has to be impeccable for him to be successful in terms of throwing the game.
When he goes deep, it's duck hunt.
That one interception he had yesterday, I think it was up in the air like 9 seconds.
Okay, there was a, what is it with Jamie? It's this chair. It's a chair you're sitting in today. Like, you're so freaking logical.
I hate it. I hate it, Jamie.
It's so logical. It's like Jamie's,
I'm always
like,
logical.
Jamie's sitting in Bob's chair, and Bob's aura has taken over Jamie. Because Bob is the most, we agree, would be the most logical of all of us. Like, the least likely to be moved by passion is Bob.
I could bang a pumpkin pie.
Well, maybe Bob.
Hope you had a great Thanksgiving, Bob.
Hope he did.
It's the reason why he's off.
Yeah. That's why you don't have
clean
dessert.
Cool whip.
That's why you don't have dessert at the Coonies. But it's a, I mean, there is a, there is, there's something about the, Bob's the most, like, sort of analytical, least likely to be passionate, come in and be pissed off. And
there was, and look, the hardest thing for a young quarterback to learn in the NFL, because I think Sirianni or somebody made reference to learning, the learning curve more or less yesterday, is the speed of the game. And there was a play to me, that Quez Watkins jump ball on the sideline where he was double covered. And Quez almost came down with it, to his credit, in a tough, to me, that was a decision-making wasn't right with the speed of the game. And I just don't, his decision-making has to be impeccable to make up for his, you know, lack of arm and zip that a lot of other quarterbacks in this league have.
I still
can't
get over, you have the Heisman Trophy winning wide receiver, 10th overall pick, and you don't get the ball.
Last two series.
Yeah, like, it wasn't
just
even targeted.
Last two series. The ball to Jalen Reagor and Quez Watkins over and over again.
Let me hear Jalen Reagor after the game. It's a short bite where he talks about the drops.
Just two drops that I would say very uncharacteristic, but, you know, just got to go through the highs and lows and go to the next week and, you know, make the plays.
Did he say they're uncharacteristic? Jalen Reagor said drops are uncharacteristic?
He lives in a different world than we do.
Okay, here's what I don't understand, too, is people afterwards, and I watched, again, I never think of the name of it. What's it called? Post Game Live, right? Post Game Live on NBC Sports Philadelphia. And they were all falling all over themselves going, boy, Jalen Reagor really took personal responsibility there. He took personal responsibility.
I do give him some credit for saying I wanted to come out and address the media because I knew
I
was
going to. Well, I like that.
I do give him some credit for that because that's tough.
But he spoke about accountability.
Yeah.
Okay. And he kept mentioning we.
Yeah, I noticed that.
Go back
also.
And watch how many times he says we.
Uh huh.
When you are, if you are truly taking accountability on, you answer everything with me, I. Then say, as a group, we can be better also.
Tyrese Maxey did it on Saturday.
Correct.
And Joel Embiid had to jump in and go, whoa, bud.
Correct.
This ain't on you. This is on me.
You, if you're talking accountability, and they were all praising him. They're all like, the whole set, Michael and the whole gang, they're all like, yeah, yeah, boy, he really showed accountability there. Look, he showed accountability to me by showing up, and I respect that. And I think that's, it tells me a lot about Jalen Reagor, is that he's rounding in to being the guy that he's going to be.
Still only 22.
But still, though, enough
still
with the,
sucks.
If you're talking about accountability, you don't use we. Well, we need to be better. We can't be doing that. No. Address why you're being accountable. What'd you do wrong? And then say, as a group, we could have had a better day. There were a lot of things that went into that loss. But you lead with you. Once you've put yourself out in the firing squad, then it's all right to say we.
Yeah, I
just
agree.
He's a young man.
You're just talking nothing but facts today.
He's a young man. Hey, what do we only have an hour left to talk facts with you.
It's his fourth drop, by the way, in 100 career targets.
That's not terrible, though.
It's not.
20.
So I get why he would say that.
Okay,
but
how many drops has J.J. Arcega-Whiteside had?
No, don't.
He's getting
that.
Hot. It's J.J.
season. You want to get in with us, you can. 610-632-0975. We've got an hour to go. Cuz Radio comes your way at the top of the hour, next hour, so you want to be here for this. And remember, our Know the Show question is coming up at 9:20. Your chance to win tickets to go to the suite and watch the Sixers play the Heat on December 15th with us. It's the John Kincaid Show on the Fanatic. All right, it's cold out. You're feeling the cold because your windows, they're not up to snuff. They're letting the cold air in and they're letting the hot air out. So when you check your heating bills, they're going to be atrocious. What I want you to do is window shop today. It's Cyber Monday. Why don't you go to windownation.com and do a little window shopping? You can have any style, any color window, have them replaced, And with natural gas prices on the rise, higher gas bills are coming. Window Nation has this deal. Get a house full of windows for $99 a month. $99 a month, they will give you a house full of windows. They'll replace all the windows in your home. The savings that you're going to get in your heating and cooling bills are going to pay a portion of that $99 a month every single month. So hurry in. The offer's not going to last long. You want new windows. You've been waiting for new windows. Can you afford $99 a month? They will replace every window in your home, a full house of windows, for just $99 a month. That fits anybody's budget. Hurry. The offer won't last long. Start battling. Get your house in great condition with our friends from Window Nation. Call 866-90-NATION. That's 866-90-NATION.
97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5 The Fanatic.
No! God, please, no!
See, and I hate this song, too.
Not today, Coach.
No, I'm not doing it. And that was Coach.
Coach isn't here.
That was Coach trolling us. He has the ability to hop in the system and put songs in. And he's cracking up right now.
San Diego, laughing Mahalo. It up.
Yep. Bobby McFerrin?
Yep.
Right? Bobby McFerrin?
Horrible.
Seriously, horrible. Absolutely.
Like, read the room, Coach.
He's probably not thinking today. Union, so no, like,
you know what he's thinking?
Happy.
He's thinking about the union, so why don't we do that? Doop, doop.
That's something to be happy about.
Congratulations. Even though Nashville, I am so glad they lost.
Bunch of scumbags.
I'm so glad that the union won. Nashville played that entire extra time. They played just to get to kicks.
Yeah.
They didn't do anything.
Bold strategy to want to take on Andre Blake.
Man.
The wall.
One of the best athletes in the city right now.
He was fantastic yesterday.
He was awesome.
The really, really good. Saved the weekend.
They did.
It was
the only
a really
good thing.
Crappy sports weekend outside the Union.
Yeah, it was a bad weekend. And it started Friday with the Flyers.
Followed
up Saturday by the Sixers.
Well, Jim Curtin, who's a local guy, obviously, a friend of the show, he knows.
He did a great job.
He knows that the city needed it. So he went out there and he told his guys, look, Flyers crap the bed. Sixers crap the bed. Eagles crap the bed. Let's do it for the city.
See, you know what, Nashville? You can put that crappy team in the bagster.
That's right.
It's a dumpster in a bag. You're staying at Home Depot and Lowe's. For details, go to bagster.com. 9 o'clock hour brought to you by the Bagster. That's what the union did. They will play New England. Well, they may play New England.
Yes, that's Tuesday.
They could still
night.
Host this game.
They could, in theory, yes.
This game could still be Sunday, 3 o'clock in Chester.
The scheduling in the MLS playoffs is quite strange to me.
Well, they're trying to get as much TV exposure as they can.
I get that.
But they gave New England.
Tuesday night game.
And New England has so much time off. Well, Tuesday night prime time's not bad.
Yeah, but.
For the sport to get the exposure it needs.
But then the other team's 2 days shorter rest. And
we like that if we're the union.
Yeah, it's a good thing for the union here. It's just weird in general to me.
Yeah, I mean, terrible. Hey, losing to Joe Judge when your defense gives up 13 points in a divisional game? That doesn't make sense to you either, does it, Jim? It's completely unacceptable.
North Philly's Joe Judge.
Yeah, what about that?
Well, Lansdale is north of Philadelphia.
Joe Judge is from North Philly? But Joe Judge may be the least North Philly guy ever.
He would not survive 10 minutes in North Philly.
He's not a North Philly guy.
Tommy Toughnuts wannabe.
They meant north of Philly.
Yes. What a crazy turn of events.
It's Christmas on Joe Judge. Yeah.
I texted Schlereth.
Still minute, reveling in that.
The minute that Adam Amin said he was from North Philly, I went, no. That's not what North Philly means.
Look, mistakes were made.
He's not. We all saw a tight game coming on Friday. But nobody saw that. We're gonna let's revisit some of our predictions here coming up. Jalen Hurts had turned a corner, or so we thought. But less than 100 yards passing with three interceptions inside the 2-minute warning of a game. Jamie, is that bad?
That's not good. Bad, right?
It's not good. No, it's you know what? It's historically bad. How about it? I saw it last night. Do you know how many times a quarterback has had 3+ interceptions with less than 100 yards passing going into the 2-minute warning?
Oh, God.
It's in the history.
Three times?
No. In the history of the NFL, it's inside 40 performances.
Okay.
Considering the opponent, it now brings us the question of whether the pressure got to this team.
I think they were smelling themselves. I think they were smelling themselves a little bit. I think Nick Sirianni was smelling himself a little bit. You know, with the 11 or 12 of the first 16 plays being passes.
Oh, gosh.
Yeah, I think they went in a little overconfident, and hopefully it's a good learning lesson for them. This is a week-to-week league. What you did the week prior, a lot of times means absolutely nothing for your upcoming game, and I hope they all realize that.
I don't like the idea, though, of hearing, well, it's a learning experience, we'll learn from this now. Nick Sirianni and his staff should have learned this from their performances earlier this year. They came out pass happy against a team that was 6 worse against the run.
Well, the Jets are, I believe, over the last month, worst in football against the run.
I don't want to hear that, Jamie, because he's not listening.
They better get back on track. I mean, the thing that this team does best right now is their offensive line. Jordan Mailata, again, out there killing people yesterday. Just run behind those big hogs. It's not complicated.
But it's not sexy. It's not what he wants to do.
Well, it's not what they want to do, I believe, ultimately. But it's what you do best right now. So with the playoffs on the line, you would think you would go to that. But I don't know.
You want some shred of good news this morning?
Sure.
I got good news. Okay. This weekend, the Eagles take on the Jets.
Yeah. Which might be Joe Flacco.
So it could be Joe Flacco.
Zach Wilson limped off the field yesterday.
He limped off. It might be Joe Flacco again. So you take on the Jets at the Deadlands or whatever they call it now. MetLife. Okay, so if you win that game, the Saints play Dallas Thursday night. We're expecting a loss for the Saints, correct?
I would think so, yes.
Okay. Falcons play the Bucks next Sunday.
They should lose that.
Okay. The Eagles will be the team just on the outside looking in behind. They're only a half game out of the wild card, though.
So it's San Fran and Minnesota, the two you have to pay attention to.
San Fran's sixth, Minnesota seventh right now. Minnesota holds this last wild card spot. They're 5-6. So they play the Lions this weekend, so most likely they're going to be 6-6. But if you get past that, they're at the Lions, by the way. They've got Steelers at the Bears, Rams at the Packers, Bears again. They got two of the Bears, which is a divisional game, rivalry, could easily do something. So we could come in next Monday and the Eagles could be sitting there in the eighth spot.
Oh, God.
They could be.
Oh, no.
They could be. It's crazy.
Don't do it.
No, but they could be. It's where they might be.
No, but at this point, you're not really in tank-worthy mode, so you might as well go for it.
Yeah, you're not in tank-worthy mode.
I think you're in tank-worthy mode.
Are you?
I'm there, personally.
Well, you've been there all year.
But you were there, though.
I've been here.
Yeah. Pat, you resided there.
That's so true.
You were like Oscar.
I set up shop.
You were the mayor of Tank.
I put down roots here.
You're like Oscar the Grouch.
Yeah.
By the way, I think Nick or Cole that we took the picture of, took the picture with the other day, I think he had a picture with Pat Egan, too. As the mayor of, you know, I'm here with the mayor of Tankville.
Bitch, I live in a trash can.
Yeah, it's not fun here, but.
Oh, my gosh.
It's necessary for the time being.
It's right now, though, the draft picks, 9th, Eagles, 10th, Miami, 14th, Indianapolis.
I mean, that's pretty good. I know it's not.
You're not getting the quarterback of the future with that.
I know it's not, but you can get a lot of good players with the top 3 of the top 15.
By the way, every
week that we back it up, I mean, the teams do. You know, the Dolphins winning and the Eagles winning.
Colts losing.
And
great.
We just continue to tell ourselves, like, no, this is great. I'm sorry. I had hopes of, like, 2 picks in the top 5, possibly 3 in the top 10.
That was never going to happen.
You're not shopping at Nordstrom anymore. You're now shopping at, maybe you're at Macy's. Maybe you're at Macy's now.
They have great brands at Macy's.
They do.
But
when you were thinking Nordstrom.
You were thinking the big gift. It was gonna go there.
Yeah.
You were. You're not getting the premium talent on defense or the premium talent on offense. If you're drafting 10th, 12th, 15th, you're getting the second level star talent.
By the way, Kyle Hamilton and
there are seven.
Aiden Hutchinson. Did you catch him on Saturday?
Oh my gosh!
Whoa!
By the way, there are 18. I saw two different drafts. guides that are already starting to put out stuff. One has 18 guys have true first round grades. One has 19. So that's good news for the Eagles, is that all their picks should come into that unless Carson Wentz and the Colts make the postseason.
Well, not to, you know, be pro 9 and 10 in the draft, but normally in a draft there's a quarterback run, which is a leap because a lot of desperate teams will go for that quarter. So it does drop some of the best position players typically available down into that range and like in between 8 and 12. So I do still think you're going to get some quality players coming up. I still view the draft as an extreme positive. I know it's not as sexy as it once was.
No.
But look at like last year, for example. Patrick Surtain goes 9th. Devontae Smith goes 10. 14th is Vera Tucker, the guard from USC.
Sure.
Just behind Rashawn Slater and Micah Parsons.
Where's your quarterback?
Well, that's the thing.
Well, that's a major thing.
Well, yeah, but
the year you have three number one picks, you're thinking, well, we can solve our quarterback issue. By the way, the teams ahead of them that need quarterbacks, Detroit's got the number one pick. Your picks in the first round are not getting Detroit to move off of one.
Sure, but that's why I think they're going to do everything in their power to get Russell Wilson.
Yeah, they're trading for a quarterback.
Who are they trading for?
They could trade for Russell Wilson.
Russell Wilson has to waive his no-trade clause. And that's by the way, nothing about him says that he wants to come.
I think he waives his no-trade clause.
To come to Philly.
Athletes want to come to play for the Eagles. They do.
I think the Giants have a slight advantage there, but
They do have an advantage.
I think the Eagles are going to do everything in their power to get him.
Sarah already has a place there.
That's fine.
She can live in New York. That's where...
Has she seen Rittenhouse Square at Christmas time? It's gorgeous.
Does he want to play for Joe Judge?
He's probably not going to be there.
I'm not even saying this as a Joe Judge hater, but like
he might not be there.
He might not. But
what about if to get Russell Wilson, you say, well, we're hiring a coach, Russell.
Do whatever you have to do to get Russell Wilson.
Right now, by the way, Jets 4-5. They're holding the 4th and 5th picks. The Jets are going to take that defense and get the two best players on defense.
Well, they probably need offensive line help.
They do too. Giants 6-7.
They need a lot.
Giants are sitting there 6-7.
Again, they need offensive line help.
But they'd be trading one of those to get Russell Wilson.
Yes.
If you're doing that.
Or drafting a quarterback.
By the way, the other day was that Russell Wilson would not be able to command. Now, this is Jay Glazer. Talking to NFL people, he does not believe that a trade for Russell Wilson would include two first-round picks this year.
I don't either.
So it didn't matter.
I think it'd be one now and one later.
It could be one. He thought it would be more of a conditional.
Yeah.
One with next year being a second if the team makes the playoffs. Then it's a first.
Yeah, I've brought this up in the past, and people are like, you don't give up 3 first-round draft picks for Russell Wilson. And I was like, it's not going to cost that. Like, there's a price tag that you have to pay on top of it if that were to happen.
Going back to work means more cars are on the roads and more air pollution. Share a Ride offers a cleaner way to commute in southeastern Pennsylvania and lets you earn rewards. Go to pacarpool.org. pacarpool.org. By the way, tomorrow is Giving Tuesday. After Cyber Monday, it's a day of charity, and the AACR, the American Association for Cancer Research, will have a little takeover of the show tomorrow where you'll have your opportunity to be able to donate. We appreciate you. Every donation you can make tomorrow, $5, $10, $20, $100, whatever it is, we would appreciate it as we try to benefit cancer research. Absolutely.
Love it.
Awesome.
It's great work, by
Take care of some business. They really do great work.
By the way, I have last year's draft in front of me.
Sure.
Just because I was looking up who went 9, 10, and 14, just out of curiosity.
Yes. Make us feel better.
Outside of the quarterbacks, and look, Wilson, Lawrence, Lance, still very much to be determined. Mac Jones went at 15. Outside of the quarterback position, this looks like an all-time draft. I mean,
this year's draft?
Yeah.
It's supposed to be a great draft.
Kyle Pitts, Jamar Chase, Jalen Waddle, Penei Sewell, Patrick Surtain, Devontae Smith, Micah Parsons, Rashawn.
Look at the names.
All these guys are making immediate impacts for their teams.
Again, last year, just going by, what was it? I'm drawing a blank. On the one draft, they had 17. Last year, they gave 17 players first round grades. So who was 17?
17 was Alex Leatherwood, the tackle from Bama.
The top 17 players in that draft were choice red meat.
Yeah, I mean, even like a Kadarius Toney, he looks like he's
22?
24?
20.
20th. There's just good players all over the place.
So you're going to get it. It's a matter of getting you your quarterback.
That's the big question, and that's why Jalen Hurts is on an accelerated process of evaluation. It's typically not fair historically, but it is what it is because of where you are this offseason in terms of money and draft capital.
Jamie says in the linchpin, if this guy wants it, give it to him.
This is the linchpin.
To me, overcomplication of sports gets in the mind of too many coaches too often. You've coached hockey. I've coached some youth lacrosse. Pat, I don't know if you've coached before.
Madden.
We've all played.
He's coaching Madden.
Yeah, there you go. We've all played on teams. Everybody knows who your best player is, who your playmaker is. When that person gets in the mode of, give me the ball, I'm going to win the game, you know what you do? You find a way to give them the freaking ball. And Nick Sirianni kind of ticked me off in his press conference last night. He said, yeah, Devontae did come up to me and say he wanted the ball, and he had a play in mind. Nick said, I didn't think that play was going to work based on the coverage that the Giants were showing us. Okay, then find another play. When a great athlete gets possessed like that and they get that look in the eye of, give me the ball, I'm going to go win a game. You give them the ball. It's not rocket science. Sometimes guys have that next gear. The great competitors do. And when Devontae Smith, if I'm in Nick Sirianni's shoes yesterday and he walks up to me before that final drive and says, get me the ball, it's not a second of thought in my head of, how do we get Devontae Smith the ball here? And look, my question to Zach, he said a lot of that blame goes to Jalen Hurts. He's right. A lot does go to Jalen Hurts. But Jalen Hurts should be the one going, I need to get Devontae Smith the ball. He's our playmaker. Why are you overcomplicating things there? I just really didn't like that from both the quarterback and the coach yesterday.
I didn't like the answer.
I love that Devontae Smith said, give me the ball.
I want it too. That's what I want you to do. You're the number one pick.
That's what we've been begging for. And the kid does it, and he doesn't get a single freaking target in the final two drives. It's inexcusable.
And they targeted Rager multiple times. Now, you heard Zach Berman say he did not believe on the second Rager play, he did not believe that that was
a design for Rager. Yes.
He believes the first one was. Second
Jalen
one was
hung
not.
In the pocket late on that one, so okay. I think that's what broke open.
And as it said yesterday, five of the seven absolutely. Like I went back and looked at every single one because I'm a nerd. Five of the seven absolutely were plays designed for Jalen Rager.
Yeah.
So maybe it was five design.
Yeah.
You still went to him more than you went to Devontae Smith.
Yeah.
And more than you went to your tight end who you just paid $55 million
yeah.
to.
Yeah.
Unacceptable.
I was talking about it in the post game last night, and our buddy E-Rock tweeted me, yeah, it's kind of like Ryan Howard saying, get me to the plate, boys. When a great athlete gets that possession in their eyes of, I'm going to do it, let them do it. Let them do it. It's not rocket science. Let them do it. You needed to find a way to get Devontae Smith involved there late in the game. I really just didn't understand any of that thinking.
Crazy.
From both quarterback and coach. There's plenty of blame to go around there.
Plenty of blame. I didn't think the coach took enough of the blame yesterday. Honestly.
Everybody seemed a little too nonchalant for my liking yesterday.
Yes! And again,
I don't need fire and brimstone, but like, stop with the chilled out. It's just a drop. It's just a game. No,
and
it
more
wasn't.
Importantly, do not do the old nonsense of, well, all of our goals are in front of us. By the way, that is a Nick Saban playbook, 100%. That is a Nick Saban line.
They seem like
all
a
of
team,
our goals are ahead of us.
Seem like a team that just kept waiting to turn it on. They knew they were playing a bad team, and oh, we'll be all right. Oh, wait, we dropped the ball? That's okay.
Yes.
We dropped another one. But to not get the ball to the guy you traded up for, 10th overall, Heisman Trophy winner, guy that constantly is open, to not get him the ball when he wanted to, but to also not only get him the ball twice in the game, it's ridiculous. Like, I can't wait to see him with an actual quarterback who can beat you with his arm, because they don't have one right now.
Do you guys want some good news?
Yeah, please. No, we need good news on this one.
I might be breaking this to you.
No, I know.
You just saw it?
I've been telling Pat. I knew.
Okay. Well, here's some good news, boys.
We knew this news before Pete Thamel did.
Okay. Temple has let go of Rod Carey.
Thank God.
There you go.
Thank God.
Is that
Johnny,
a sweet wave of relief over the two of you?
I've only been waiting a year for it to happen, so yes.
I would tell you that I refuse to do the, well, you feel bad for anybody that loses their job. The amount of money that he was paid. He doesn't have to worry about anything the rest of his life. I don't feel bad for him in that regard at all. And I don't think he ever embraced being a Temple Owl.
Well, coaches I never feel bad for because they get paid an exorbitant amount of money to go away.
And he's going
to
get paid to go away. And so, he's gonna get, yeah, so I don't worry about him. I'm not worried about whether his family's going to get paid.
Yeah, the Twitter mafia will come at you. Oh, you're reveling in a guy getting fired. Please, yeah, like, he's getting millions of dollars to literally go away. He ruined the program that was built by Rule, continued by Collins. It was a joke.
He burned the building to the ground.
Yeah.
Would you like some more good news?
And please, more importantly, he didn't want to be there.
They're hiring somebody from Matt Rule's coaching.
No, this wasn't
city.
This isn't Temple related, but this good news will be brought to you by Family Jewelers. The holidays are fast approaching. Shop early. Fill your stocking with amazing jewelry from Family and Company Jewelers, South Jersey's diamond destination. John Morosi, 1 minute ago. The Phillies have had recent contact with reps for free agent Nick Castellanos. Of note, Dave Dombrowski was the Tigers' president and GM when Castellanos was Detroit's top pick in 2010.
Wow!
Now, reports are that he's looking for a 7 or 8 year deal. That needs to be a little more in check. But if they're able to land Castellanos...
Wait a minute. You're the one who advocated them going 5 for JT when nobody else was going more than 3. And you were fine with 13 for Bryce Harper. I wasn't here for it. But you say you're fine with that. What are you talking about? You got to overpay. That's how you
want to... That's fine. I don't care. Go get him. I mean, eight years is a lot.
The Mets went the extra year that nobody else would go and got themselves a center fielder. No one else was offering 4. The Mets offered 4. He took it. So, I mean... You can't be that. You have to say, go get him whatever way.
I don't want to do 8 years, but I'm in.
I don't either.
Look, if you have 2 corner outfielders that have power, hey, wow, that's a thought.
Wouldn't that be nice?
So, let's see.
I would tell you, Pat, you have anybody in mind? You're saying go to the Matt Rule tree?
Yeah, I don't care who it is, but you need to go to the Matt Rule tree that actually gets the city, not some country bumpkin who meat and potatoes crap from the Midwest. But I like Evan Cooper Jr. He's the secondaries coach for Carolina right now.
I have another one.
Go ahead.
Go to Coach Weisenhan.
The former offensive line?
Yes. Yeah. The offensive line coach. He's now down at Georgia Tech. He went down to Georgia Tech.
With Collins.
Coach Weezy.
Yeah, I'm cool with that.
And I guarantee you there's a certain offensive lineman of the Buffalo Bills who will echo that.
I think I know who you're talking about.
I think he's really like paid well. His name's Dion.
Yeah.
He's not Neon Dion.
Yeah. Nice kid, too.
Elijah Robinson.
Really good.
Texas A&M, I take. But you know what's amazing is like yesterday in yesterday's game against the Giants, right? Like they're mentioning the guys from Temple's team that made in the NFL. Like they had to kind of scratch and claw their way, but you know, they're mentioning Chris Myrick and Quincy Roche. And I'm just sitting there going, what the hell happened to this team? So thank God they made a change. It's probably 5 weeks too late, but...
Finally, it's done. All right, the Know Your Show question today. You're going to call 610-632-0975. If you know the answer to the question, you'll join us in a suite to see the Sixers play the Heat on the 15th of December. A young gentleman asked me to take a picture with him at the Flyers game the other day. I thought he had posted a picture on his website of him and his father. Who had the young man posted a picture of? Him and who else? Who was in the picture with him? If you know the answer to that question, 610-632-0975, and you will join us in a luxury suite on December the 15th to see the Sixers play the Heat. Good luck to you if you know the show. John Kincaid Show on The Fanatic. Hey, if you own a home, you need a trusted HVAC company. And my wife and I have chosen to do business with H&H Heating and Air Conditioning. How much did I like this company? Well, I wanted the Hoke brothers to check out my heating and air conditioning system before we even bought our home. I brought them to the pre-closing inspection. They're awesome. If you're debating whether to get a new system right now, they're going to help you out. They got rebates up to $1,500 or 0% financing for 18 months if you're a qualified buyer. While you got H&H in your house, they can perform a routine carbon monoxide test so you'll sleep soundly knowing that your family's protected. What I love about DelcoHVAC.com and the Hoke Brothers and H&H Heating and Air Conditioning, 24/7, 365, emergency service, live person always at the other end of the phone. Fast, friendly, local service, and don't let Delco HVAC fool you. If you're in Chester County, if you're in Montgomery County, if you're at the Jersey Shore, they can take care of you. South Jersey, they'll take care of you. They'll take care of you in Delaware. Visit DelcoHVAC.com. That's DelcoHVAC.com. See why they get so many 5-star ratings online. Send your regards and send the Kincaid's regards with you.
97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music.
Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
75 The Fanatic.
John Kincaid's show on The Fanatic. If you're a fan of our show, make sure you take the Kincaid Club personality pop quiz on the contest page to see which one of us you're most like. You could win a $100 Amazon gift card just for playing. It's a great, great deal. So we have our first Sweet Sweet giveaway. I need Connor Thomas to
come. I've yelled at him twice. I don't know what he's doing.
What is Connor Thomas doing?
Probably waxing poetic about, you know, his crazy weekend.
Or waxing his eyebrows. Connor's supposed to tell me who our winner is for the Sweets Week so I can announce it on
the air. It might be my fault. I kind of let a...
No, don't you do this.
Anthony's out there, so we were talking to MLB free agency.
Stop talking about free agency.
See, you're being Tyrese Maxey.
Right, here's what I want you to do. Jamie, get in there. Oh, I have a winner now.
Oh, okay. You know who probably wrote it up? Dylan McKinnon probably wrote it up because he's out there, the D-train, always waiting. Ready to come.
Let's worry about what we're doing first and then worry about talking about baseball free agency second.
Well, Connor's idea there at the end was, could you get Schwarber and Castellanos and play one and maybe Castellanos in center? It was spiraling quick.
I have the same idea, though, that you had earlier today that... I have a feeling you're paying Schwarber for the oddity.
I'm
not a bad player, but...
No, he's not. And his hitting coach here, Kevin Long, you know, he credits for fixing him. So, I don't know.
It's not enough of a fix for me to say I want to load up on Schwarber, big money for Schwarber.
It's risky to me.
Such a Phillies sign.
Yeah. Oh, it is.
That's what it feels like.
That's why I want to avoid it.
Yeah.
Like 100%. The plague. By the way, I told you guys back in, I guess when we started, Before the baseball season even began, that I knew what we'd be talking about on December 1st on the
show.
You
did, and it looks like you're exactly
right. It's not even going to be close.
It doesn't even seem like they're trying.
No, they're not.
I don't, and that's one of the reasons
why people hate baseball.
I don't think the Phillies have made a move yet.
Because they don't know what the structure's going to be.
Yeah, I don't think they want to spend big, and then there's a salary cap, for example, and they're stuck on the bag for 40 million or something.
And if there is a salary cap,
I really don't think there's going to be.
Why would you think that?
Because I think the players' union is pretty strong.
Yeah, I don't think there is either.
You don't think they're going to...
I think they're dug in.
You don't think they're going to... Well, the players' union, the owners can be dug in forever. They can be dug in.
Yeah, unfortunately, they do have more money.
And they can just say, okay,
but they also can't...
Just sit.
After a pandemic season where they all took it on the chin, and I do that in air quotes, I don't know if the owners also have another season of that in them. Like, in theory, they do.
The players trying to articulate why there shouldn't be a salary cap, all the owners have to trot out is, well,
we're the ones paying it.
The NFL, the NFL, the NBA, the NHL all believe that it's a great system and it works well.
And
everybody shares in the wealth.
I think there should be a floor, not a cap.
That doesn't fix anything.
It keeps some of these bottom feeders from selling off every year.
I got you, but
and making the rich richer.
But it has to. You have to take care of the top end too. You got to make sure there's a salary cap. Put it on an even playing field, so people in Kansas City and Pittsburgh and some other places feel like there's an opportunity to win.
Part of me likes that because we have a rich owner that's up there in terms of wealth in the league.
The Phillies fourth in payroll in September.
Part of me feels like if there's a salary cap, the Phillies' chances are neutered more than they already are. You know what I mean?
Could be.
Because I feel like that's one of the advantages they have over two-thirds of the league is they have deeper wallets.
Dave McKay will be joining us with a guest.
Hello.
To see the Sixers play the Miami Heat as we begin Sweets Week here on the John Kincaid Show. Dave is our Monday winner. Dave McKay has grabbed himself two tickets, him and a friend.
Nice.
So that's going to be awesome.
Looking forward to it, Dave.
That's great. We love that.
And what's that? You can listen every day the rest of the week?
Yeah, rest of the week.
All right.
And win, and there will be special ways, but you got to listen to the show. But it won't always be a know-the-show question. We're going to do different things. What else is Coach going to want to do?
Oh, Jersey math is a lock of the century.
He loves Jersey math.
He lives for Jersey math.
I sort of do, too, because it's a great TSL builder, for those who don't know what it is. Figure it out. Tony Savers Lettuce.
Life Savers.
Lettuce.
Sure.
Tony Savers Lettuce. It's great, so there you go. And the verdict, it's really easy. Sorry, Nick. The buck stops with you, despite the horrible quarterback play. And the quarterback play was horrible. Absolutely horrible. But the buck stops with this coaching staff and that horrendous game plan they came out with. I thought it was really clear, and it was great because a couple of people already have gotten back to me on social media saying, boy, Zach Berman really laid it out there for us today. He does not believe for a second that the analytics department would have told Nick Sirianni to come out with that game plan.
No, I mean...
Why have them? Well, why are you employing, by the way,
because I think they're part of formulating the game plan. I don't think it's, hey, do this. I think it's, you know, Sirianni and Steichen and the coaches probably bring them in on like a Wednesday or a Tuesday and say, you know, all right, present your case, and they present what they're seeing. And I think it's a part of the game plan. I don't think it dictates the game plan.
Okay.
That's just the way I believe it should
work. Shouldn't that game plan have been dictated? Playing the sixth worst rush defense in the NFL?
You would think.
I never understand the outthink the room strategy in anything in life. I never understand. If I know there's an easy way to get somewhere, and I said, look, we can be there in 5 minutes. And my wife goes, yeah, but there's another way that you can go. I'm like, no. I know this way. Let's do this way. I don't know why in the world they came out pass happy yesterday. And a gentleman says here, they were trailing in the game. Do you not understand why they were passing? Guy says, man, I said, they were down 3-0.
Yeah, it was the first half.
They were down 3-0 after the first drive.
Yeah.
They were trailing in the game. How do you not understand why they had to come out and pass? It was 3-0.
Yeah, I think that's one of those talking points. Unless you're down like 14 plus.
I would say I always figure 12 plus.
Yeah, I mean, same ballpark.
More than a touchdown, a field goal.
Yeah.
And in the first quarter, I don't want to hear if you're down 10.
No, and look, the passing game led to points coming off the board before half. Oh, if you went into the half, it tied up at 3-3. Considering how poorly that went, that's a win.
Let's hear some of our juror audio, Pat, as we round out today.
It's the John Kincaid Show's inaugural Birds Jury of 12. Now, let's head to the courtroom.
I love when the button sticks, John. And I just live
for it. Don't you?
Yes. So, as you've probably heard, if you've listened to the first two groups, it's been an angry group. Couple of level-headed people in there. Well, let's see how we finish it off, and we'll start off with Kyle.
Hi, it's one take. Kyle, juror number 10. Brutal, terrible, pathetic, awful. Pick your negative adjective. The whole point of the season was to improve, and that did not happen today. And that's what's so frustrating about this game. Rager stinks. I'm done with him. I'll take him to the airport. And it's one of those games that makes me get so mad at Howie for drafting Rager over Jefferson. Other than Smith, we really have no wide receivers. We didn't run the ball in the first half. Everything that had gone well over the last few weeks, we kind of forgot about. And you're not going to win a game with four turnovers. We got to bring it on for the Jets next week, and I hope things get better. I hope they're healthy, and let's win. Go Birds.
I think there's been anger this morning, but very measured.
Yes.
Our jurors are doing the job of what a jury's supposed to do.
That's kind of what the vibe I was getting yesterday after postgame. It wasn't the anger I was expecting, but it's managed anger. It just shows you how bad the Giants are, that you had four turnovers, to his point, and we're still in the game.
Correct. That was incredible. That's how bad the Giants are.
That's rare that you have four turnovers in a game and have a chance to win it at the end.
Great.
Where are we going next? Let's go to Mark in North Philly.
What's up, guys? This is Mark from North Philly, reporting for jury duty. So we go from a 3-touchdown game to a 3-interception game. Those types of inconsistencies just don't work as a quarterback when you're trying to make a, dare I say it, playoff run. I think Nick Sirianni got away from his game plan once you started seeing offensive linemen go down. And you just got to stick to what you do best, and that's run the football.
Okay, I mean, again, logic. We have a very logical jury. Good group of people. Love that.
I agree.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know what...
I don't know what they were thinking.
I don't know what happened yesterday. In the first half with the play calling, I don't understand getting away from the run. I don't know what he was thinking.
I just... You came out with that as your game plan.
Yeah.
It's unbelievable.
And then even worse, saw that your quarterback was struggling and took until, what, late in the third quarter to really adjust to that? Like, there needs to be a quicker adjustment on the fly, man.
Okay, I'm going to give Tony some grief here. Tony texts me, buddy of mine, Tony texts me and he goes, John, they were trailing. The guy has a point. They were trailing after the first possession. 3-0 Yeah. They don't have what you're down 3-0 and you think you have to throw happy?
No, you march down the field with the running game that's gotten you to this
point. My gosh.
And you're up 7-3 all of a sudden.
I don't want to. Is this analytics? Well, if you're down 3-0, the analytics say you got to pass. Stop.
No, it's just stupid.
Stop it.
All right, and then let's finish it off with our girl, Natalie.
This is Natalie. I'm almost at a loss for words, but I'm not. I have many negative thoughts, but I'll try to keep this as composed as possible. I think Hurts had more completions to the Giants than he did his own team. And look, I get his army and all that, but that was an unreasonable amount of dropped catches. Rager, you know you were supposed to receive the ball, correct? And speaking of going backwards, since that's the only way he runs, I wish we could go back in time and draft someone else.
That was dicey.
Calculated anger.
That's my juror right there.
Man.
And Natalie, he only had 11 more completions to the Eagles than he did the Giants.
Nat was really there. That was spicy.
Yeah.
You can tell spicy, Nat.
You could tell she was angry under the collar.
You can feel that.
But she was trying to keep herself in check.
Yeah. You're trying to figure out what's going on. You're trying to come to a resolution. And it's very, very difficult right now. But the bottom line is this, and I asked Zach Berman the question at the end of the interview, and I'll ask you guys to tell me the answer. Do I have a right to be pissed off at a 5-7 football team when I predicted they'd be 6-11?
Yes.
And why do you believe it? Because Zach said because same, they were 5-6.
Same reason that Zach gave you. Our expectations in the beginning of the year are not the expectations in week 11. You had an opportunity to put yourself in a really good position yesterday. Regardless of what we thought or what this team actually is, you were playing a bad team. It's not like you went out there and lost a game 13-7 to the Bucs or the Packers or, you know, whoever. The Giants, they're a bad football team. They just are. And you blew a golden opportunity yesterday. So, yeah, I think you have a right to be pissed.
I mean, it's just it is unbelievable.
Okay. Expectations change in season.
By the way, you said something earlier in the show that a buddy of yours or somebody you read online had said that they got back faster from
Dustin MetLife. And Willow Grove got back quicker from MetLife than the link.
Willow Grove would that be Bucks?
No,
that's not Bucks.
I guess that's technically Montgomery.
Montgomery.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's like Abington area.
Okay. Because right here, David from Bucks County said, I echo what Jamie's friend had said to him earlier.
Jeez.
It took us 10 minutes less to get home.
That's unbelievable.
We've been to every home game this year. It took us 10 minutes less to get home from the Giants stadium than it does getting out of the South Philly Cup.
That's outrageous. And look, I know the lots are controlled by the city, but these teams need to step in.
But the lots may be controlled by the city, but that doesn't mean the streets are not. The city controls traffic flow out of the stadium complex.
I'm saying the teams need to step in with the city and be like, this is a problem now. I mean,
come on.
It deters some people from going, like myself. It deters me from going down more often.
Well, I've been down to the games this year. I did not go to the Tampa game on the Thursday night because I thought I'd get in the bed at 1 o'clock.
Yeah,
and I wouldn't get any sleep.
It's bad. It's a problem. It's bad,
man. But there are people that went to the game at the Giants Stadium and got home faster.
That's crazy.
By the way, he says we walked out as soon as the ball was turned over at the end.
Yeah.
Since they didn't really leave early.
Yeah.
They just got out at that point.
Unbelievable.
That's incredible. First, the turnover on downs. That's bad.
They need to do something.
Yeah, they got to do something about it.
Stop doing nothing about it.
We can't fix potholes in this city. You want them to figure out the traffic situation?
Well, I don't think it's that complicated of a fix, is it?
It's not. And it's not complicated to figure out. You probably should have ran the ball yesterday. But amazingly, people get in their own ways.
You make roads one way. You make roads one way to exit the stadium. And if you need to double roadways that go out, then you can do that. You're the city. You can do that.
Yeah.
You can say we're not letting anybody in until everybody gets out. Let people out of it. So that's an indictment when you're hearing that from people. It's been a, I'd like to say a lot of times after a loss, I feel better after the show. I'm not sure I feel better today, though.
No, I don't.
Maybe that's the weight of expectation. Maybe it's that I finally feel this team has some expectations.
Probably. Yeah, I mean, I still think they're a mediocre team, even if they were able to squeak into the playoffs, but the expectations change.
Sure.
Because you establish you're able to do something at a pretty elite level in this league, and that's run the freaking football. It's not rocket science. Stop overcomplicating things. Please. It's not difficult.
It is just unbelievable. The, you know, Brandon sends me an email, and he goes, going into the fourth quarter, the Eagles had 28 rushes compared to 18 passes. But Brandon, they came out throwing the football, which made no sense. And when they ran the football, that's when they started to have success. So, I mean, you know.
It was more the first half. I mean, that was just a terrible half of football.
And he puts out that Miles Sanders, again, the, you know, one out of three, when around one out of three, the runs, it's going to be 1 yard less or negative yardage. So it's going to be a bit of a problem, too, that that comes into play. That just getting behind the chains is just not good for this team.
Yeah, but, I mean, ultimately, he wasn't a problem. The next series, they went to him, and he had an 11-yard run, an 8-yard run.
Well, he hit the hole beautifully.
Yeah.
It's just
he was looking good yesterday.
Like shot out of a cannon like Anthony Gargano was on Monday mornings.
What's up, fellas?
You need the couch today, though, for people. After hearing this show this morning.
I mean, couch is out. Listen to, yes.
So couch is out today? You'll be able to help people?
Sure.
Okay. Because yes. It's, the as I asked Zach at the end of the interview, they've got one of the largest analytics departments in the NFL. And the analytics department, which is supposed to help them with game planning and everything, told them coming out against the Giants, throw the ball? I don't understand it, Anthony. Explain it to me, cuz.
Well, you know, one of the things I rail against all the time is analytics in football. Like, I don't need you. I don't need analytics to tell me what to do.
To go up against the Giants, you could have made that game.
Like, it really rankles me because you can't look at numbers. Listen, again, there's some useful.
Sure, you know, absolutely.
Obviously, data is data, and you can get useful data. But
situationally.
This is completely out of whack. Just the way the Phillies were, and how'd that work out? They destroyed their players. Because you had a bunch of guys that didn't know the game running around and messing with people's heads. It's the same thing here. You know what? Just leave Sirianni alone. Let him coach. All right? Take the numbers out. Blow up. The first thing I would do is blow up that analytics wing of the NovaCare. Blow it up. I would detonate it. Okay? Because that's absurd.
I told you the story about...
The kid can't throw. Like, you know he's got an issue throwing the ball down the field. All right? That's it.
You don't need an analytics department to tell you that.
Look at his arm. Look the way he throws. Look how the ball's delivered. Everything's loopy. The ball loops.
Oh, dude, that one, he hung it up in the air. It felt like 10 seconds.
He doesn't have an arm.
Because he's a leg thrower.
Again, you know...
there was one of the balls was up so long.
It was outrageous.
In the air.
Yeah, because what happens when you don't have an arm.
They threw in a promo for the Masked Singer by the time it actually got to the receiver.
Well, I mean, listen, you know, yeah, the shame is that this was a failed test by Jalen.
Oh, no question.
Because you're going into it going, all right, the Denver game, he made a lot of good plays.
Sure.
Well, you know, is there a way we could scheme around the arm, right? Is there a way? And yesterday told you.
Did you watch Denver truck the Chargers yesterday, though?
Yeah.
They jumped them. It's so weird. The NFL is so...
Weird.
Weird. Because
a lot of spots.
They jumped them yesterday.
And listen, it was a bad spot for the Eagles. Going into it, we talked about last week. It was a bad spot for him.
Once the Cowboys lost, I started being like, oh, man, this screams let down now. You know, like everything was just there for the taking.
The way the Giants lost. Like,
they're a bad team.
They are. You know, it's funny because there was no Tony. Their best player on offense is Kadarius Tony.
Yeah, he's
the
one
with the most potential. Yes, yeah, I mean, absolutely. Listen,
he's a player.
Boy, he's shifty.
Saquon doesn't look...
Nah, look at these running backs. Zeke doesn't
too many
look.
Too many injuries.
Yeah,
Saquon's gone. That's why you don't draft him high.
No,
you got to look at them as interchangeable parts.
Yeah,
or third.
Yeah.
What did you think about? By the way, I know you're a big college football fan as I am.
No, what
do you think about Lincoln Riley ditching to go to USC?
Yeah, it's horrible.
When
right?
Oklahoma goes to the SEC.
That's terrible.
He was Billy Big Balls talking about when they'd be getting ready for bowl games, going about, yeah, we're not worried about playing SEC teams. Then he gets
that's
killed.
So weak.
Now he goes
so
to USC.
Weak.
Aiden Hutchinson.
Oh, dude. Ooh. Delicious.
Ooh. OP There's, slips a little
How much
bit.
You want to see Georgia play Michigan for the title?
Oh, it'd be awesome.
Be sort of old schoolish game.
I would love to see that.
Physical.
Yeah.
It'd be fun to watch.
Is Cincinnati? It's funny because I took.
I laughed that they're in it. They're not. It's ridiculous to me that you can play one of the 15 worst schedules in college football and think that you're good enough to play for the national title.
That's why the you need to have.
Give me 18.
Whatever. As again, I'll say it. The semifinal games are usually 3 touchdown blowouts on average.
Yeah, but I need to have.
That's one versus four and 2 versus 3.
Sense of fairness.
I got you. Cincinnati being in. I'll never
accept the sense of fairness. It's like Notre Dame loses to Cincinnati without their quarterback.
Right.
Which isn't fair to Notre Dame.
Sure.
Right? Because you lost your quarterback. That's not indicative to who they are either. Correct. Give them a chance to play that on the field.
Hey, support Life-Saving Cancer Research. Join us and our generous partner, Adam Mechanical Heating, Air Conditioning, and Plumbing, and make a donation to the American Association for Cancer Research today at 975thefanatic.com/AACR because cancer research saves lives. Tomorrow, AACR will take over the show with us, and on the day of giving, we'll be giving you opportunities all day long to get in. Please make your donations tomorrow. We appreciate you. Cuz Radio comes your way next. It'll uplift your day. For everybody here at the John Kincaid Show, make it a great Monday, everybody.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.